Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Hey, there's even a fridge! This is great! You can put six packs of soda in here. Milk, yogurt, you can put candy bars in the freezer.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Hey, I tell you what, you can take a good look at a butcher's ass by sticking your head up there, but wouldn't you rather take his word for it? No, I mean, you can get a good look at a T-bone by sticking your head up a butcher's ass, but then, no, it's got to be your bull.
Paul Perillo.
I have what doctors call a bit of a weight problem. I used to grab bear claws as a kid, two at a time.
That guy in a little coat. That guy in a little coat.
And Andy. And Andy?
You know where the weight room is?
Andy Hart.
Were you watching Spank Provision? Maybe you were watching a movie with that funny comedian. Oh, what's his name? Buddy Wackett?
Hey, that's a pretty girl down there.
Geez, I wonder if she goes out with one of the Yankees.
Eric Scalavino.
I don't like you. Probably never will. You're a smug, unhappy little man, and you treat people like they were idiots.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
I'm going to make you toast to the best bunch of freaks ever born. Maybe we weren't the smartest guys.
Maybe we spent a little too much time puking off balconies.
But we had fun, huh? Yeah!
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Everybody is busy munching here, but I'm ready to go, and this is episode number 3,455 of PFW in Progress.
Is that real?
No.
You lying your ass off.
I don't know.
I have no
idea. No, I'm shaking my head at him, not at you.
And it goes back to
a decade.
Yeah.
And there's,
I don't know, 52 times 3 at the max.
When was the first show?
Oh, that's the way to start off a show. Let's start doing math.
Well, no. All right. When was the day of the first show?
It was my understanding that there would be no math.
You must remember that, Fred.
I have no idea when the first show was.
You don't remember the inaugural PFW in Progress?
You got to remember.
I think he probably wanted to forget it.
This show started.
It was a pretty good show.
This show started.
I doubt it.
As the Patriots Cafe. It was a noontime.
That rhymes with Cap Gay.
It was a noontime show done in the lounge where the Patriots eat their lunch, hosted by Don Lowry, back in the old Foxborough Stadium.
And was he allowed to swear on it?
So Don started divulging game plan.
You weren't part of the show?
I started it.
And drinking heavily.
We figured, you know, him being the PR guy at the time, the players would be more comfortable because he could grab them like while they're eating lunch and have them talk. It was a good idea. Back when we could get that type of access. You know, now, I mean, they have all these IEDs and tripwires by the Patriots cafeteria now. If we ever even come near that place.
I don't even want to do a radio show. I just like to be able to eat in
there. When did it become the show that it is now?
I really can't
remember. I joined it.
2001.
2001? Yeah.
And Walpole. Okay. We did it in Walpole at first, if you recall.
I remember we did it in Walpole. Yeah.
And it was, it was during that
glory
season.
Days.
We never did it in the closet. At Foxborough before we went to.
What's the next topic?
You got to commend Andy.
Well, literally, we worked in a coat closet at Foxborough Stadium at one point.
Yeah, I didn't though. I wasn't there then.
Because no one other than Paul would fit in a closet.
All right,
You messed up with the volume again on that thing. I think it was a little too low that time.
That's because. Never mind. It was because of the music.
There's something else.
Because I was fading down the music.
Right, right.
Excuses. Now, at what time will you play the close of the show? This is around 12:20.
Probably right now.
Well, one of the reasons I started off the show getting a little nostalgic was, this thing that's going on at Pro Football Talk now. Somebody from this show, one of our listeners, was nice enough to mention how, you know, accurate they found Andy Hart in his evaluations. Not that he knows every little thing about
Flanders.
But when he says a player, he thinks a player is not going to be good, the guy tends not to be good and vice versa. So, of course.
And don't start digging to find places where I was wrong. Let's just leave it at that.
So, of course, you know.
Mendenhall is ridiculous.
What?
Let's not start looking for the facts. Let's just leave it alone.
It's one of our listeners put that as a comment on a story about Todd McShay on Pro Football Talk, and of course, a lot of people made fun. Oh, Patriots Football Weekly. Who cares? Who are they? Blah 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 blah. But I think we've come a long way, and you know, I thank whoever the listener was, Bricketh, I think.
Bricketh.
Yeah, Bricketh.
You know, for doing that. And I really.
He has an email in there. With his,
you can read it.
Okay.
With his, I think it's from North Carolina.
I think more of our listeners need to do that.
Props to Bricketh.
Because we need to show these mainstream sites.
Make money.
The power of the PFW in Progress listenership. We need to really weigh on them heavily, you know, our audience.
Well, Fred, I think Andy's going to be a little jealous then.
Of what?
Of me.
No chance. Unless you got a job that pays a lot of money.
Yeah, kind of. And it kind of involves what you want to do. Which
not
is
not work and have a lot of money.
Are you making an announcement?
Yeah, I kind of have some news, Fred.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And Andy's not going to be too happy with me because I kind of got a job that he kind of would like if he could get it.
Teaching?
But he can't, obviously.
What?
Just tell us!
I'm going to NFL.com.
Really?
To do analysis and write stories.
Wait a minute. Hold on. You're not kidding, right?
It's April Fool's Day, you moron.
Oh, it's April Fool's Day.
Idiots.
Oh, you started tearing up, so
well,
I thought maybe you were.
Doc wanted me to really pour it on and pretend. And
yeah, but the gag was supposed to be believable.
Yeah, I figured you could have waited the next hour of the show.
No, but it seemed like
you really think they're going to hire the guy who doesn't know where the tight end lines up, as his boss once put it?
No, Doc originally wanted me to say ESPN, but I'm like, well, I don't do on-air stuff, so that kind of rules me out. So we figured NFL.com was a more believable one.
Nah. You should have gone politics.
You know what's funny? I would have gone the other way. ESPN would have been the more believable one.
Why?
ESPN.com.
Because they don't care
about
talent.
Because they have a cast of millions. Yeah. They have millions of people there. What's another one?
We almost had him. We had Fred, though, I think, Doc. We had Fred going.
You had me going. Yeah. Anyway, all right, so that's not happening.
No, we're just messing with
it. There was a one. Did you see the one on Pro Football Talk this morning out of Miami? They were trying to
Ronnie Brown
to the Patriots, one of the local radio shows or their website.
Yeah,
I haven't seen any real good ones today, though.
No, I think people
there was
are
one online about a 3940 that, like, Fox Sports is trying to promote a little video. Supposedly some guy ran a 3940.
Yeah. I think so many people are
Bruce
on the
Davis.
Lookout these days because so many people do April Fool's.
Bruce Davis, offensive lineman, ran a 3.9.
They just don't play well anymore, you know.
Why?
Yeah, people aren't as into it, it seems.
Yeah.
Well, it's like people get mad.
No, just so people are just so alert to it, you know. It's
they're too jaded.
More creative.
Yeah,
too jaded now.
First thing you think of, oh, April Fool's, you know, except for me.
Well.
Except for me.
Don't you think they... In general, they used to be much more clever.
Yeah.
And I'm not making fun of this because you guys, clearly, you put about 30 seconds of time into it. But, I mean, like the old Sports Illustrated Sid Finch thing.
Yeah, Sid Finch.
I mean, that was extremely clever.
Yep.
With enough of believability mixed in with just utter ridiculousness to make you kind of scratch your head and wonder. You know?
Yep.
Now, like Andy says, everybody does it, so everybody's on the lookout for it.
Right.
As soon as you got in your car this morning, you were wondering, what do I hear today?
Yep.
That is going to be outrageous.
So was that one on EEI real or not real? That Elin is pregnant, and that's why they've kind of maintained a relationship? She's about 5 months pregnant or something?
I didn't hear that, so I don't know.
Because that was one they were reading from another site, but suppose it was posted last night that Elin is pregnant with Tiger Woods' third child.
Anyway, going back to what I was originally talking about.
The beginning of this show?
Ooh, some pepper on that Papa Gino's pizza.
Is your pizza smaller than it used to be?
No, I ordered.
Their large subs
small.
Are not large.
Really?
Large my ass.
Anyway, so I was just thinking that, you know, it would be great if more of our listeners could do what Bricketh did on Pro Football Talk and get the word out there.
Some others chimed in, you know.
Yeah.
AC 613,
yeah, there was
a
moderate
else.
Groundswell, one might say.
I got to think that was pretty impressive. It was like six or seven posts out of
100.
And then somebody immediately printed a screen capture of that and had it put on a billboard outside the stadium. Yeah.
Well, I enjoyed the one where somebody was like, let's go to their site and crash their servers or whatever.
Which they can't do because we...
that kind of
That already happened during a Super Bowl,
Dudek,
so screw you.
Dudek doesn't work here anymore.
So that was kind of cool. But anyway, getting to the Patriots, Brian Hoyer talked today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He looks like Eric, you know.
A lot of media was there for that. Had some interesting things to say. The one that got quoted mostly was about Tim Tebow.
Yep.
Bring him in.
Bring him.
Gave him the
Let's
old
go.
Rock thing. Just
Let's
bring
go.
It.
He wants to go one. But he complimented
on
me.
One.
He wasn't saying it in a taunting way.
No.
You know, he was saying he complimented him to the roof afterwards. He said he's a great player. He's probably the most well-known football player, at least in my lifetime, if not ever.
He was probably afraid Urban Meyer would yell at him if he really said something somewhat controversial about his little puppy.
He also said he met him the other day, I guess, when Tebow was in town getting
How come he wasn't invited to
dinner? And dined.
The horse and pony show. Is that what is it?
Dog and pony.
Dog and pony show in the North End.
I don't know. But yeah, that was pretty interesting.
So other than that, you know, things have been pretty quiet.
Yeah.
Other than the Tebow dinner in the North End.
Well, I just want to get into that whole thing. And I have a theory about that. Obviously, you know, if you've just woken up from a coma, you've heard that Tim Tebow was in town, had dinner with Nick Caserio and Bill Belichick in the North End, and you know, was actually seen out in the street with a football. And so if there was any doubt that that's Tim Tebow, they wanted to make sure that...
They brought a football with them to dinner?
Supposedly. He had a Tebow out front, and he was talking to people. Holding a football.
So the question is, you know, the usual very discreet Patriots, why would they do something so easy to be seen and talked about? And I have a theory.
Go ahead.
I have a theory. The theory is that this is a favor, a personal favor from Bill Belichick to Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer asked Bill Belichick, short of actually drafting the kid, can you do anything in your power to raise his awareness, to raise his stock by giving him your good housekeeping seal of approval. And I think that's what Belichick's doing. He's just helping the kid. Maybe, you know, not that enough people aren't talking about him already, but just raise his stock, you know, make it seem like the Patriots are more than just a little interested in him, but maybe thinking about him for the second round. And here's why. Here's why I think Urban Meyer asked Bill Belichick to do that. I think that, you know, Urban Meyer came to the realization at the end of Tim Tebow's career that the program had done nothing for him to prepare him for being a quarterback in the NFL. And he felt a little bad about that. And I think that's one of the other reasons why he jumped on that other reporter, you know, for the quote that the wide receiver had about the new quarterback. I think, you know, not that he should feel guilty, but I think he might. You know, it might not be warranted, but I think he feels a little like, you know, everyone's saying this kid can't play quarterback in the NFL, and he just came out of our system.
Well, an interesting theory, but my only challenge to it would be, given that there's only you have a limited number of pre-draft visits you can have with players, would, if they didn't have legitimate interest in him and wanted to get extra information, could they afford to waste one of those trips
Absolutely.
On a guy like that?
Oh, easily. You're only allowed to bring in, I think, 30 guys. But you
can
go anywhere you want, you know?
Well, yeah, but I mean, you only have 30 is my point.
You're only allowed to bring in 30.
You're only allowed to bring 30 here.
Right, but
you
You
can go. I mean, Bill estimates they see, you know, upwards of 220 players every year.
Well, yeah, but if you're really serious about a guy...
Well,
you bring them, don't you?
But we know that
smoke screens are part of the process.
Right.
I'll bet you it's a 50-50 split of guys that they've drafted over the years that have been here or not.
Boy, and I wish we had the time to research that out for sure.
Yeah.
And then maybe there'd be some information in SPFW
right.
when you do it anyway.
We drop the ball when it's Eric's turn. But
and I would say
you know what? Your theory is not completely outland. It's not one of your typical Fred theories. Let's put it that way.
I think the first part of your theory is legit. I don't know the reasoning behind it necessarily, but I think
Yeah, and I would say given Urban Meyer and Belichick's relationship, Belichick might be just doing it on his own.
But the whole feeling bad that he didn't prepare him thing, I think that falls flat for a number of reasons. Number one, that's not how major college coaches think, that they're God. They don't, you know,
They do what they have to do to win games.
But number two, not only while he created the greatest college football player in history.
Right.
I mean, everybody is saying this guy is the greatest college football player ever.
But I also
so how did he do doesn't him? Translate to the pros. Right.
But if he had translated this, him to the pros,
that makes him one of thousands and thousands over the years that could
so
be said
Tim
about.
So did Tim Tebow want to be pro ready or the greatest college football player ever?
But there's something about Tim Tebow, as much as we like to make fun of him, that people who really know him really just fall in love with this guy and respect him and think he is, you know, above the common human being as far as decency and hard work and ethic and leadership and all that.
I want to touch on some of that.
No, but I just think that, you know, you might have a little more of a personal investment in a guy like Tim Tebow.
I'm sure he does. This is probably, I don't even think there's any probably about it. This has to be the most special player that Urban Meyer has ever coached for him. You know, every coach, you have guys that, I mean, I know you. They're all players and you treat them all equal and all that nonsense.
Right.
There are guys that you have more affection
have
and affinity for.
Sure.
And this has to be the guy that means the most to Urban Meyer. It has to be. But, yeah, I have no doubt. I don't think that it's mostly legend. I think the guy is legit. I think he's a great leader. I think he was a great, great player, a great winner and all that stuff. But I mentioned something to Andy, you know, this morning.
I think he's Tiger Woods' wingman.
Well, I can't wait for that scandal to come out.
You're too
jaded.
Well,
no
one's
perfect, and they create perfect people, and there's no such thing. And that's why I won't raise an eyebrow when that happens. But this whole, you know, he's coachable thing, we can just put him in any position. He's proven to be coachable. Why would Urban Meyer feel guilty for anything he's done when all reports indicate that on three different occasions he tried to change his mechanics, his throwing mechanics, and make him more pro-ready as a quarterback?
Oh, I didn't know that.
So maybe he's not quite as quote-unquote coachable as we're led to believe. Now, part of that might be, well, I'm doing what I'm doing and I'm winning, so why am I going to change? The reason to change now is they don't think I can win doing this. So there is some incentive there, but I think if he was the perfect guy that he's being portrayed as, he might have been a little bit more willing to put the work in between your sophomore and junior year or whenever it was.
But do you know didn't?
Well, one of the guys was Brady's guy, right?
Yeah.
Brady's Martinez, wasn't he one of the throwing guys?
But do you and know he
just
didn't try
just,
or
didn't
he
take.
Just failed? But not taking doesn't mean he didn't try.
Right.
If you go from April to June and you do all the workouts and then at the end of it your passes are worse, you get to camp and Meyer just goes, you know what, we got to win.
Right.
So you need to go back.
It might be as simple as that. You might be right.
Right. And, you know.
But that, again, would worry me moving forward.
And a lot of times.
If you think he's a quarterback.
A young player.
No, but I'm saying if you're just drafting him on the Mike Mayock theory is give the kid a chance or the Brian Hoyer, give him a chance. If you think you're going to give him a chance as a football player on your team, I'll take him because he's going to work hard, whether he's a special team or a tight end or whatever. Then that doesn't worry you. If you're drafting him in the first round to be your franchise quarterback, then that's a problem.
Yeah. But, you know, a lot of times a younger player might not get a concept or get a coaching philosophy at first, but it takes a while, and then finally, you know, the light bulb goes off. A lot of rookies say that.
You guys like to call it the year seven jump.
he just won't let go of certain. I mean, God. So, you know, it could have been during that sophomore year when whenever that took place. Maybe he just didn't get it at the time or wasn't clicking. Now he's a little bit older, and now maybe they see that he's a little bit more ready to take that coaching, and maybe he'll get it a little bit quicker now.
Well, he was a major college quarterback for 4 years, so he'd obviously passed that one-year jump. That's the only time you can ever improve, so I guess we have nothing to look forward to for Tim Tebow.
Wait till he's a year 17 veteran.
But to the point we were talking about earlier about, you know, making him into the greatest college player of all time versus making him pro-ready, you can make the argument that Urban Meyer was looking forward and thinking, you know, we need to win now, and I can make him the greatest college player of all time. He can learn to be ready later. You can't make him the greatest college player of all time later. You know, once your college career is over, that's it. It's over.
That's why I would never hold Urban Meyer responsible for this. I don't think that he did the kid wrong in any way.
I don't either.
Yeah, I don't either.
He works for the University of Florida.
Right. But I would have my reservations as to whether or not he can transform himself because he is Tim Tebow into something that he may or may not be. That's the point I'm trying to make. I think if it was that easy, then he would have been able to make the transition at one of those times where they tried to do it.
So getting back to you know, the dog and pony show, as Andy put it.
Well, I didn't think much of it either until all of a sudden he took that sweat jacket off and he had a Florida Gator shirt.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I thought that was a little much.
There was a flashing sign that said, Tim Tebow, Tim Tebow.
You know, so...
He had that blonde walking around next to him.
So, you know...
I would have been there.
What is the motivation for the Patriots? Is it just because, hey, Tim, we like Tim Tebow and, you know, we're going to bring him in just to talk to him?
Maybe they want somebody to waste a pick on him. Simple as that. If you get a team maybe to waste a pick in the 20s on Tim Tebow, a better player is available at 44 or whatever.
I think they might actually want him.
Oh, I do too, but I don't think they needed to do anything.
Where, though? Second round?
No higher than second round.
Fifth round.
Fifth round, Paul says.
No higher than like the last second round.
There's no way he'll last to the fifth round.
I would not take him in the
second. I don't think he'll last. I don't think he'll last.
Third round or beyond, I'd take him.
Yeah, he'll go. Yeah, I agree.
Which apparently means the fourth because I don't have a third.
How do so
yet?
So if you're a team, what do you do? I mean, how do you figure out what you're going to do with him once you draft him? Do you draft him knowing?
I think you'd figure out before, or you have an idea before.
But I mean, if he's a quarterback, if the idea is to make him a quarterback, now you have to give him significant reps,
right?
In order to see if you were right or wrong,
sort of.
And those reps have to come from somewhere.
Well, but is he a quarterback now, or is he a quarterback in 3 years?
He doesn't have to be your starter right away, but.
No, but you have to see what you got.
And there's time for that in passing camp, in preseason.
Right. Slow but sure.
Yeah.
You add to the
blowout games, you put him in, you give him some time, whatever.
Well, if
you're end of the half situation,
drafting him to play this year, they're idiots.
Yeah, if you're doing that, then you can't draft him higher than the third round.
You can.
There's
plenty of teams that draft late first, early second.
Especially if you think somebody else is right on your heels and they're going
to
take him.
There's plenty of quarterbacks that go in that area that are 1, 2, 3 years away.
Are they meant to be 1, 2, 3 years away?
Yeah, you know, a lot of teams don't draft John Beck
first
or
second round
to be immediate
what's
contributors.
His name? Tennessee. I can't think of
Peyton
his name.
Manning.
No.
Vince Young.
All right.
The guy who died. I can't think of his
name.
Steve McNair.
Yeah.
When they drafted him, he wasn't thrust into the starting lineup. He worked his way after a few years, and he was a high draft pick.
Yeah, well,
it said Houston. I might have got it.
Was he? A high draft pick?
Yeah.
Oh, three, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Or five.
Yeah.
Coming out of Alcorn State?
Yeah. Yeah. Top five pick.
Yeah.
And he sat for a few years.
He sat, I think, for 2 years, but that's also a long time ago. And I don't think you see that very often
you
anymore.
You don't, but, especially, but you still see it with the 20s to 30s guys.
Yeah, I was going to say the top half of the first round guys. To me, there's a difference. If you're in the 20s, Aaron Rodgers waited.
Right.
You know, Brady Quinn is still waiting.
Well, but, I mean, Aaron Rodgers waited because they had Brett Favre.
But that's my point. You don't draft this guy
to be
tomorrow's
quarterback.
Brady Quinn
waited because he stunk. They tried to get him in there. He just couldn't do
it. No, Brady Quinn waited because he held out.
Right.
He was an idiot.
Yeah, I know, but once he got
Otherwise, he would have been the quarterback.
He got beaten out.
But that's right.
He
was down a year.
But there wasn't like there was an incumbent that he had to wait behind.
No, but he was down a year. He lost his
lost
first
a
year.
And Derek Anderson won the job. And
exactly.
Played what, and
because
played
he
well.
Held, because he held out.
The intention was... Let's draft him and hold him out for 2, 3 years. The intention was let's draft him and get him the hell out there.
Well, that's always the intention. But
that's what I'm saying.
But it doesn't
always
happen.
But Tebow, you can't make that your intention even if you draft him that high. That's what I'm saying.
If you think he can play, you do.
But how do you don't know that. No one knows that.
Well, you don't know any of them can play.
Well, let me tell you, if you don't think he can play, if you don't know he can play, you can't draft him that high.
That's what I'm saying.
So if he gets drafted that high, that team is going to do it with the intention of having him play.
Right. Right.
What are you talking about?
Because one of you said that.
Put your headphones up on your head.
One of you guys said that teams often, I think it was Eric, often draft quarterbacks high and have them sit out.
Well, no one said
often
high.
I said
it's
in the late 20s
latter half
and 30s.
Of the first round and below. Yeah, Josh Freeman
happens all the time.
There's a lot of guys.
I don't think you draft a quarterback. This is my contention. I don't think you draft a quarterback in the modern age that high with the intention of him not playing for a couple of years.
Well, it happens all the time.
For it might happen.
Wait a minute.
But that's not the intention.
For a couple of years.
Yeah.
No, I mean, no one would ever. You would never draft anybody.
Well, Andy said you need 2, 3 years before Tebow's ready.
No, well, that's what I think is.
But all these guys could have used an extra year. They all suck in the beginning.
I understand. Well, Bill Walsh says none of them should play the first year.
Okay,
I
mean,
But you're missing the point.
He's not around.
I don't think.
But I don't think what's his name. You can fill in anybody there that played, and I'm going to say they played too soon.
Well, my
and I'm going to say it with Tebow if he plays before year.
I think it's really, really stupid if a team drafts Tebow as a quarterback with the intention of him not playing for 3 years.
I agree.
That's ridiculous.
I agree. And I don't think any team would ever draft anybody with the intention of that guy at any position in any round not playing for 3 years.
That's, I agree.
No
unless
team
his name's Sean Crable.
I agree with
that. I don't think that any team would ever do that. We know this guy.
Boy, I really struck a nerve with that one.
We know this guy can't play. Try selling that one to your fan base.
Right.
We're excited today. We know he can't play until
even Tebow's buying.
And we're going to draft him in the first or second round. It just that doesn't
there's,
make any sense.
There's no
to
way
me.
Anybody
That's what
would
I'm
do
saying.
That. But somebody's going to do it.
But you're missing the point. Andy is saying that he thinks it's going to take Tebow 2 or 3 years to develop,
if he develops at all.
You know,
and so what you're saying is
Wayne Weaver might not think that.
Okay. So
or Buddy Nix.
So okay.
New favorite GM.
So let's take this to the next step. If a team drafts Tebow as a quarterback in the first or second round, they don't think it's going to take that long for him to be a quarterback. You can make that assumption.
They're not doing a 3-year plan, no.
I would be surprised to see him starting for whoever he got drafted by opening day, but I would expect to see him starting before
by
the end of the
late season.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Tampa did with Josh Freeman.
Right. And they'll suck and they'll be picking high in the draft and all that.
Okay, well, that's.
I think Buffalo's a legitimate possibility.
Unless he gets taken by a team like the Patriots, that there's no chance for him to play barring injury.
Right.
Then I would expect him to sit
again,
the whole time.
Now you get back to: are you really going to waste a pick that high for a guy you know is not?
But that
play?
Might be no, that I might wouldn't. Be a case where they draft him expecting him not to play for 2 or 3 years because they have the franchise player already. And what better place if they're not sure if he can do it? Why not take him at a place where there's already stability at the position, unquestioned, and you can maybe try to work him into the player you think
you really want to waste a first or second round pick on
him? If you think it's worth it, and if you think someone else is ready to pounce on him.
Yeah, well, my answer to that is because you have instability at several other positions.
Right.
That's why you can't afford to do that.
Right. Same reason I'm not drafting a center.
I see the Colts. A lot of people say the Colts are going to take that guy now.
Going to pounce on him.
Pouncy.
Saturday dead.
All right, we got a lot of emails. We're going to get back to them right after this.
Call or email PFW in progress. Your input is always welcome.
Wrong. Try again, dumbass.
Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. Says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited, but only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards,
but
first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. You want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah.
They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Gino Cappelletti.
Hello!
You're listening to PFW in Progress on Patriots.com radio. Really, Fred? My hip?
All right, welcome back to PFW Progress. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address for all you first-time listeners. We always get a few first-timers on every show. First-time emailers, I don't know. People seem to listen, but they don't come out of the woodwork for years. But I'm, like I said at the beginning of the show, we're asking you to show your strength. Get on these blog
sites.
What's this, a pledge drive today?
Well, I just want, you know, I'm tired of being kicked around. I'm tired of
Who's
people
kicking
saying
you around, Fred?
We're this house organ little online radio show. We have more listeners than a lot of terrestrial radio shows around the country.
That'd be true.
You know, outside the big markets, obviously. But, you know, I'll bet you, we have more listeners than Tennessee sports radio. You know?
I don't know. People of Tennessee.
So I want to mobilize our listenership. Get on these things. Tell them where you're from and tell them what fur. All right.
A lot of emails.
508-543-7482. Jim from Texas is on the phone. Hey, Jim.
Hey, it's a long time. How you been, buddy?
I've been great. How about you?
Well, between the last time I spoke to you, I've had a natural disaster we had to go to in Haiti. And we had an oil spill. We lost, I think, 650,000 gallons of crude. It spilled 1 mile in front of the office that I currently work at. And if Eric's there, he can back me up on the Seinfeld episode where I got promoted. You know, it's a lot more work, a lot more responsibility, not any more money. So
Know the feeling, right?
Yeah. So okay. Anyways, as far as the rest of it goes,
I'm glad I asked Jim. All right.
You know, Fred, you're still one of the all-time greats, though, and that's no lie.
Yeah.
As far as the draft, I kind of like that kid Graham out of Michigan, and I like that kid Everson Griffin out of SC. Your thoughts on those two guys?
Oh, Everson Griffin's
a douche.
Yeah, we're not too high on him.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of butted heads with him at the combine,
yeah,
and I was right.
And when you butt heads with Andy, that's not a good thing.
What did he say he was going to run?
4.5. Ran a 4.74, I think.
Yeah, and
he's a big body.
I guess he ran a 4.59 yesterday.
Yeah. Funny when he gets on his home turf with whatever, get it done.
But he does have the measurables.
That's still closer to 4.6 than 4.5.
He's just a
career underachiever at USC.
He's
not as good as his build is.
He's the Bill Belichick.
He got replaced by
guy.
Clay Matthews. He thinks he's great, and he isn't, and that's going to hold him back.
Well, as far as you guys talking about Tim Tebow, though, I'll take Fred's position with this thing. You can't draft a guy with the number of needs we have. We have 4 picks in the first 60, give or take, and here's the thing. You don't take somebody who is the 60th best player on the board that's going to sit for 2 years. I couldn't agree with Fred more on anything that I mean, Tim Tebow to me is not a need. It's like if you can get him in the fourth round, then fine. You can't take that guy in the first 2 rounds. There's no way.
And Jim, the only caveat I would make is unless you have some other role that you know he can step right into and contribute.
And I wouldn't do that in the first 2 rounds.
I think
we're all in agreement. I'm with you, Jim. No way. No way would I take him
right,
early in the draft.
Let me throw this at you, Jim. What if you're the Colts? You have the 31st pick, right?
Sure.
And you decided, you know, Curtis Painter, obviously not really the answer. Jim Sorgi's gone. You take a risk on him if you think he's an NFL caliber quarterback?
No, I do not. Because I really don't believe he is an NFL caliber quarterback.
And for the same reason the Patriots shouldn't.
But if you did think he was, if you did think he was, and you had that 31st pick,
well, yeah, he would go a lot higher if I thought he was an NFL quarterback.
Right.
That changes the whole. That's one of those hypotheticals that really changes the whole question.
I'm saying if you're the Colts and you think he's that.
But if I'm any team and I think he's a legit NFL quarterback, now I'm thinking of taking him.
But the Patriots have passed up on NFL caliber quarterbacks before because they have one and they're set there.
Well, here's the thing, though. If you overdraft a position, and I've seen teams do this, there's an incredible need at one particular spot, and they go ahead and they fill that need with the player on the board, but according to their board, he should have been taken two rounds later. And sometimes you see this in the first round, particularly at like cornerback. There'll be a run at a certain spot, like cornerback, and four or five guys will get taken in 10 picks. And so you're sitting there, all of a sudden, you're like, well, if we don't draft one now, we may not get a chance of getting another one. And you see guys get overdrafted.
Well, it happens every year.
Well, every team's value of a player is different. And, you know, when they
That's
say
true.
they don't draft on need, they're crazy. Of course, need is a factor. That raises the value of a guy. So when you see that run, that's telling you that all these guys are really valued the same on a lot of different boards. And so they feel, you know, it doesn't really matter if I get this guy or the other guy because we're going to coach him up once he gets here anyway.
Right. But, Fred, remember all the years that we thought, like, I think there was at least three solid years that we thought that they were going to take a linebacker in the first round because we were very old at that position and we didn't have a lot of depth.
Right.
And he still didn't do it.
No.
And when Bill says he doesn't necessarily draft based on their needs, if you look at some of these drafts, you have to give it to him that
Bill doesn't say that.
I never said that.
I agree.
My bad. Oh.
I mean, I think I could rattle. I mean, Ty Warren was as big a need pick as you'll ever see.
They
couldn't stop the run in 2002, right. And they took about the sixth defensive lineman right. on the board at number 13.
What the media and what draftniks like to keep saying is need or value, need or best player. And what the Patriots consistently say is we don't have a formula. It just depends on everything. You know what?
A lot of variables.
But I can tell you for a fact that because of need, guys have higher values, not just on the Patriots, but on every team. You know, it is a factor, need. There's no doubt about it.
Okay, well, I'll go on record right now and say, based on need or ability or all that other stuff, if I was a GM of any 32 teams in this league, I would not take Tebow before the middle of round three. Because I'm looking at what he can do on the football field. I'm looking at if I'm going to have to call, let's say, for example, I have to call upon him in game one or game 60 of his career as a player of mine, can he help me? And the answer to that question, I would say, is no. He is Vince Young with less speed and maybe a little better arm. But Vince Young, you know, it was like the third overall pick in the 05 draft or something like that.
Yeah.
I had very big questions, serious questions about him because he was very inaccurate. And Tim Tebow, his offense is, he lined up in the shotgun, he looks at his first progression. If it's not there, he either throws to the back or he runs. And in the NFL, everybody in the league can run from the back seven. So he's not going to be able to turn the corner and get a 7 or 8 yard gain and keep the chains going. He can't make that many plays with his arm, and this is my problem with Michael Vick. Once you can eliminate, and he's not nearly as fast as Michael Vick, once you eliminate a guy's legs in the league, and you can by speed, then you have to make plays with your own at quarterback. I don't think he can do it. Great kid, no doubt. He probably can sit on the bench somewhere and develop for a couple of years, and I think that's his best bet. But if he goes to the Bills and they're calling for his jersey mid-season, guys, that's his recipe for disaster for that team. So
yeah.
He just doesn't have it. You have to be accurate, and he's not.
Mm.
And look at it this way. He had a lot of Percy Harvin and Lewis Murphy in the offensive scheme with him, a pretty good line, certainly a stout defense. So he wasn't asked to do an awful lot, but watching him, I'm not sure he can do an awful lot. But he's a tough kid. You know, when you're taking on 220, 230-pound linebackers and you can kind of bulldoze them because you get a head of steam up, that's one thing. But 250-pound grown man is going to knock that guy out. So,
yeah.
But anyways, I owe you guys lunch, I think, at some point. Y'all still doing that thing or what?
Oh, yeah, sure. Talk to Doc off the air.
I put me on hold, and I'll talk to Doc there.
All right, Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
All right, guys.
All right, that's Jim from Texas.
Stuff there from Jim.
Ethan from Delaware says, I just want to say I would rather Bill decide to draft a 20-pound bag of horse bleep than draft Tim Tebow. In my opinion, the harm caused by the circus that would come with him would far exceed any benefit he could possibly have for our team. I do find some comfort in the fact that if the Patriots trade down from 22, I can fall back on at least they did not draft Tebow.
What if they trade down from 22 to 33 to take Tebow?
I don't know, but that's Ethan. Paul says, wouldn't Tim Tebow be a better fit for the Jets than the Patriots? The Jets don't have as many holes to fill, and Tebow could probably be a better fit on the running team
Would that little jump pass of his work on the goal line in the NFL?
No. I hate that jump
and
pass.
And I would also say they probably have a guy that's more dangerous in that role already, in Brad Smith.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I wanted to add, Jim was talking about, he mentioned Vince Young and Michael Vick, and I'm curious as to the opinions that you guys have. I think both of those players are markedly better.
Certainly
than
Vic.
Tim Tebow.
Vic is light years
Vince
better.
Vince Young was a much better passer in college than he's given credit for.
Was coming out of college, yeah.
He had a high passer rating, was pretty accurate, ran, but was more of a passer than Tebow.
Vince Young's last year at Texas, in my opinion, was as impressive, if not more than impressive, than any individual season that Tim Tebow had mm-hmm. in college. Now, Tebow gets the credit because he did it for 3-plus seasons. He split time there that first year with Chris Leake. I mean, look at the records the guy set. I mean, there's no taking away from his college career. It's perhaps the greatest college career that we'll ever see. So I'm not taking that away from him. But I think Vince Young and, without question, Michael Vick are far superior.
Both of those guys,
in terms of quarterback.
Both of those guys were better quarterbacks coming out of college than Tebow mm-hmm. is.
Yes, better passers.
Not better players overall, but better quarterbacks.
And to compare them as runners is unfair because Tebow's not even on the same category.
No, Vic was a great running quarterback. I think he was the better of the two if you're talking about him and Young. Well, there's some debate there, but his speed.
Otherworldly.
Yeah.
I mean, you can make an argument that in Vic's heyday, before he got in trouble, he was as good a running back as there was in the league. You know, when he was rushing for 1,000 yards back in 06-ish,
mm-hmm.
05, 06, I don't know.
06-ish? Is that the season between 05 and 06?
Off season.
What was the year that he went for 1,000 yards?
I don't
06,
know.
I think it was.
Back in that range.
So I just give myself a little.
Hence the ish.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Freddie.
Yeah, he's full of ish.
TG and NJ says, Fred, why do you have a draft show without Andy Hart on it?
What?
TG and NJ, here's his name. What?
What? Someone wants to know about me?
I'm actually hoping someone takes a shot so I can fire back.
They hear me getting the food ready, the ears go up. Yeah, here's his name. He says, why do they have a draft show without Andy Hart on it? How did B-Lo get that gig over Andy?
We had
an audition and B-Lo
won. Yeah, B-Lo's much better for that job.
Well, because you have to basically talk for an hour and B-Lo's really good at that.
No, he had actually the B-Lo show did very well yesterday.
A lot of emails.
I know.
The early numbers, the overnights,
and, overnights,
the fast overnights, and I think he had a guest, right?
Paulie.
He did.
Pauline.
Sorry to interrupt your.
I was looking up Paul Stat.
Paul Stat.
Did you Google 2006 ish?
Yes, and it's 2006 exact.
Oh, all right.
So,
in a titular sense.
Good.
What does Rick Roll mean?
Rick Roll.
Rick Rolling is when you email somebody and then you get them to start reading the email, and in the midst of it, you put in lyrics to what's his name? Rick Astley song.
A what?
Rick Astley?
Is Rick Astley?
Paul, you remember Rick Astley from back
in
the day.
I know who Rick Astley is.
He was a British pop singer who made it big in America. He had like 3 hits back in like the late 80s. Yeah,
yeah,
he was.
He was pretty big.
Rick Astley?
Fred lived it and has never heard of him.
I've never heard of him.
Yes,
well,
if you're
his kind of song.
You've got some songs that you can pull up, Doc. You've heard some of the songs. Never Gonna Give You Up was one of the big ones. There were 2 others that were really big.
I honestly, I've never heard of them.
She Wants to Dance With Me.
I've heard of the Boys Around the Block. I've heard of
NSYNC.
Around the block.
What I'm saying?
You know?
Rick Astley wasn't anywhere near as big as they were.
No. But he had 3 big hits.
He had a couple of hits in the, like, 90s.
So anyway.
Maybe the 80s. 80s.
Nano writes in.
Late 80s, yeah.
And he says that he Rick-rolled B-Lo on his show yesterday.
There's a term, Rick-roll?
Rick-rolling, yeah.
I never ever
it's
heard of
kind
of
like
that.
The Kevin Bacon thing.
He said
the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon is random. It's a random
pop culture
kind of thing. Yeah,
he said an Andy Hart
at the 51:22 mark of yesterday's premiere episode of the Draft Room.
Premiere.
I Rick-rolled B-Lo. I started off with some verbal fluffing, which he gobbled up hook, line, and sinker. Then I asked a question about Carlos Dunlap, which I thought would be a layup opportunity for him to talk about how everyone from Mr. Kraft on down has talked about changing the character of the locker room this year. Instead, he went off on a 4-minute speech, jumping from topic to topic. So I'm actually not clear at all what he thinks of Carlos Dunlap. Anyway, towards the end of my email is where the Rick Roll is. B-Lo corrected some of the grammar in the song lines, which is a bit unfortunate, but it is still funny. So I don't.
Rick Roll.
I can see him correcting the grammar
in
the song.
Can you send me an email so I can? I just would like to read it. It's like, never going to give you up.
I think that's the one.
Throw that in there?
Yeah, you just start, like, it's part of the body of the email.
But it makes sense or it doesn't make sense?
Yeah, do you try to? So I think his made sense.
When they made fun of you for Rihanna and they were using the,
they were using
the
stuff in there. I got Rihanna rolled, basically.
Right. I'd rather be Rihanna rolled.
I would rather be Rihanna rolled.
So when did this phenomenon start with Rick rolling?
Oh, like 2-3 years ago?
Really?
Yeah.
Is phenomenon the appropriate word? I mean, how big is it?
I think it's bigger among, like, the college age set than it is among people our age.
420 things?
Yeah.
Kind of like Santonio Holmes waking up and tweeting that he was going to wake and bake.
Wake and bake.
That's my Super Bowl. The Steelers are just falling apart.
Good.
Mendenhall can be as ridiculous as he wants, but I'm not sure he can carry that team. The MVP receiver is an idiot. The quarterback is an idiot.
Yeah.
Never always been sold on the coach.
All right, webradio@patriots.com.
I think he's all right, but
543-7482 is the phone number.
Save that for
Colbert has any say.
Doc.
They'll be okay.
This is an interesting email.
This is not an interesting show.
He has the makings of a smirk coming
on
his face.
It's a train wreck.
What's the matter?
I don't know. We're kind of.
What do you want to talk about?
We're veering all over the tracks.
Paul's cranky because his foot's in a boot.
I'm not cranky.
A boot. A boot.
You're not cranky? PFW in progress at its worst.
No, one of the emails called me out about my injury, by the way.
Well, Alex, I'll get to his right now. Alex in Edmonton. Hey, guys, and Paul. For the good of the show, I actually make fun of Eric, but lately it seems like he's manned up a bit.
He's been better.
Since last week, he hasn't so much as mentioned his surgery. He hasn't felt the need to be validated, unlike Paul, on the other hand, who can't tell us enough about his injury. Listen, Paul, at this time of year, no one's 100%. We're all battling through injuries, and most of us are day-to-day. Remember, in the wise words of Fred, too pushy, no pussy. But in all seriousness, I hope you both get back to 100% soon.
I was good.
One more little rant. I was watching The Blind Side last night, the movie about Michael Orr. At the end of the movie, they cut to a shot of Goodell announcing the Patriots' 23rd pick has been traded to the Ravens. It made me a little sick, not because of giving up Michael Orr, but for what turned out to be essentially either Darius Butler or Ron Brace, but for giving up on Clay Matthews. I know it's too early to evaluate the 09 draft, but there's no worse feeling than seeing a high-profile draftee that was a rookie Pro Bowler taken just picks after our own. I pray to God we don't trade out of 22 this year in that Golden Tate is still on the board. Andy and Fred, you're the lifeblood of the show, and Fred especially. Please don't take a day off. I know you've got a lot of meetings, but PFW Nation needs you more. Duly noted.
Duly noted.
I thought the email was funny until that last part. That's just ridiculousness.
So, what do you think about that?
About what?
About, you know, giving up on not
we don't
taking
want to
Clay
trade.
Matthews.
We don't want to trade out of the first
round. I wasn't
round.
In love with Clay Matthews. I know he had some success. I'm not sure he would have had that success here.
I'm for staying put at 22 or moving up. I don't want any of this moving down nonsense. Sick of it.
Sick of it.
Yep.
See my boy McCoy gotten.
Yeah,
gotten
I bet
the,
some good reports from about McCoy's thing.
But everything
your,
was
your
like
boy McCoy?
Not as good as Bradford.
Yeah. Your Bradford.
Did he say my boy McCoy?
Oh.
They're saying Bradford.
Because every other one I read said he was average compared to Bradford.
Mike McCarthy said that he was more impressive.
Pro day ever?
Yeah, that's what Gil was saying.
Gil Brandt said that.
Is that sort of like me saying that it was the best training camp ever for Tom Brady?
Yeah. Well, but these people actually paid attention.
And it was true for Bradford.
You're right, Paul.
Yeah.
You want to tell us about that cough?
McCarthy. Got a bad cough. Got a lot of cough.
Comes and goes?
Got a lot of cough.
Consumption? What's that?
It's an old term for
like a congestion cough.
Yeah.
Couple that with the old rheumatism.
Right. Egads.
All right, then.
Well, go ahead, Paul. Talk serious football. You look annoyed at us for screwing around.
What do you want to talk about, Paul?
You got something on your mind, Paul?
I don't care.
Is everything all right?
How about the NCAA thinking about expanding the tournament to 96 teams?
That's a travesty.
How about the NCAA expanding the tournament?
They're going to expand the tournament?
Looks like they're going to go to 96
teams. What?
It's insane,
stupid.
Isn't it?
It waters down
the whole tournament.
I think it's bad.
It's great the way it is.
It's going to make me even more upset when Northeastern doesn't make that either.
My question when we were talking about this yesterday, my question to these guys was, my question to them was, is Roger Goodell running the NCAA tournament now?
Wow.
Trying to fix things that aren't broken?
Well, they're not moving it to London.
That'd be the ultimate, too. The Final Four is in London next year.
You see some of those things?
That was un-Kersh-like taking a shot at the
some of the London things. Thinking about
having a team play home games there on a permanent basis?
Yeah. What?
Mm-hmm. Do you read anything?
No, I haven't read
What do you do
that.
Between
He's got
meetings.
He's got meetings. He's got a lot of meetings.
No, there's talk that possibly Jacksonville, you know, or teams like that, that Tampa Bay was another one that was thrown out there. Teams that haven't drawn well.
I thought
playing,
Tampa did draw well, though. I thought
playing
they loved
a game
their
Bucs every
since
year.
They won the Super Bowl.
Oh,
in London.
They're not quite
permanently.
As good anymore.
Sort of like the Bills are doing every other year in Toronto.
Well, they've played a game every the last 2 years in Toronto, but. To me, there's a big difference between going from Buffalo to Toronto
and Tampa to,
and
to
Tampa
London,
to London.
Yeah.
Or anywhere
or Jacksonville.
You can sell out Wembley and you can't sell out your own stadium.
But,
with,
well,
the sellout isn't for the team. It's for
the thought is they understand that they can get 80,000 people to go to football games over there. But in order to truly establish itself, much like our boys in the UK have explained to us about, there's no passion.
Yeah.
Right.
For the team,
it's a novelty.
It's a novelty of the game that they like.
And the more you do it, the less the novelty.
But they're trying to establish the fact: okay, this is your team,
right?
And then potentially moving the team over there.
The NFL has had this bug up there behind about getting a team in LA for ever since both teams left there. They should just move Jacksonville over there.
Well,
be done with it.
I think that's on the table, don't you?
Uh-huh. I haven't really heard a lot about that though lately.
Yeah. No, I think it is.
And then Pioli takes it over. No, I'm only
kidding. Jacksonville to L.A. Do it.
Yeah,
make it happen.
Yeah, get
it
over with.
Tampa Bay
to
L.A. for that matter.
Well, Tampa's got some history, though.
Trouble.
Tampa's got some history.
I know, but the Glazers are having a lot of, from what I understand, money problems. You know, they got involved.
That's probably another reason why
they're,
well, that's probably another reason why they're linked to London because of
just move his whole operation over there.
Right.
So then, you know, they can hate him for two reasons.
Why does he have money?
Why does he have money?
Problems. Yeah, like what is
problems?
No, how did he make his money?
Oh, how did he make his money? That's a good question. I'm not sure.
Sounds like Bill over here. That's a good question, Andy.
You just got Eric.
You want a Wikipedia Malcolm Glazer in there, Doc?
Abe Lincoln look-alike,
right? Do you know Abe Lincoln was gay?
That's not true.
They lied to me on the History Channel.
That is absolutely not true.
He kept the bed of other men.
It was very often.
I like the
I'm
way you
pretty
put
sure.
That.
I like the way
that,
you
know
that.
How in that movie they say,
well,
you know
done,
how
Alistair
I know you're gay?
No, there's a lot of, back then.
If you sleep in a bed with another man,
back
with
then,
clothes
it was,
off.
It was highly common. Guys on the road, he comes in. You know, at the time, he lived above a
brothel.
Was basically.
No. At the time,
like,
he lived in the White House.
This was in
the
White House, that big white building in Washington that houses the president.
He's
supposed to be a sacred. Building.
He wasn't gay.
I got him to talk fast the other day, too, Fred.
So you know more than the History Channel.
I've read Team of Rivals.
Never heard of it.
By Lawrence Kearns Goodwin?
Yeah.
Good book.
This is what you guys
Doris?
Always do. You change
the
argument to put words in your mouth.
Doris Kearns
Did you
Goodwin.
Read it?
Yes, Fred.
And did you highlight it, too?
I'm glad you told me.
I might have.
I'm surprised you got
I'm glad you told me she wrote it, because now I'll never, ever read it.
Not a fan?
Oh, God.
Stephen.
She almost ruined that baseball documentary for me.
Yeah, she's too much about her Brooklyn
Dodgers.
Wait,
what was she doing in a baseball documentary?
She was a big
good question.
Brooklyn Dodger fan. Her father used to take her to every game and all this stuff. All these people from the Globe, they're just too hung up on baseball. All the old times.
I
thought for sure he was going to end with themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
He went baseball.
How you can find a way to blame baseball for that, I you know. I know you hate baseball and all.
I don't hate baseball.
That was
I like
quite
baseball,
a stretch.
But I hate
Screw the
people
Sox.
Who
Let's talk
are just
football.
So they wax so nostalgic. About
I hate
baseball.
That as well. That's the one part. That's the one part of the sport that's unfortunate. It's not a metaphor for life.
Right.
It's a game.
No, football is like life.
Right.
He's right.
Let's see. This is an interesting.
And Eric failed miserably at football and life.
The Church of Baseball.
Stephen from Warwick University.
If it's true, I can make fun of you for it.
I didn't say you shouldn't.
Oh, okay.
Now, Eric, have you heard of Warwick University?
Warwick?
Yeah.
Warwick?
Is it flooded? Warwick University?
In Rhode Island? It's not in Rhode Island.
No, it's in the U.K.
In the U.K.
I'm trying to fool Eric.
Have I?
What? You got up pretty early in the morning there, Fred.
let's see. Steve says, I've listened to PFW in Progress all of this year. And
sorry
have noticed
for today's show.
You seem to have a penchant for grand, overarching conspiracy theories about the Pats, which tie together all their various off-field movings. So I thought I'd throw my hat in the ring with one which ties together the Wilfork signing, the Peppers attempted signing, and the rumors currently circulating about the Pats trying to trade for Oakland's number 8 pick this year, using a second-round pick this year and Oakland's number 1 next year. Have we heard about that?
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember Paul was confused at the time of the Wilfork signing why he was actually signed so quickly after being given the franchise tag. So what about the following situation? Suppose just before free agency, there were two contracts on the table for Wilfork, which he had agreed to, one which was the contract he eventually signed, and one which was a contract he would sign if the Pats could also sign Peppers in free agency. The if the Peppers signed contract had less money up front for Wilfork, but more guaranteed in later years to enable them to fund a move for Peppers, as they needed cash in the bank now to bring Peppers in. In the end, Peppers goes to the Bears, which means Wilfork signs the more money up front contract, which is paying him $19 million this year, the day after Peppers is gone. I then looked at the money, which is guaranteed to be paid this season to the Pats' other big free agent signings, Bodden and Bantikang. Both of them are due to make very large sums this year, $10 million for Bodden, $7 million for Tully, under the new contracts. It seems then there was a pot of cash which would have been given to Peppers, say $18 million, which is a bit less than what the Bears are paying him this year, now being reallocated to other players. Maybe there is a remainder of this pot still left, which enables them to pay the extra $3.5 million guaranteed a year needed to sign the number 8 pick in the draft as opposed to the number 44, hence the desire to move up. The Pats would much rather pay money this year when there is football guaranteed to be played as opposed to next year when there isn't, but they might have to pay a top 10 pick. So it makes sense to front-load some contracts where possible and offload the 2011 Oakland pick. Any thoughts?
Wow. Kind of blacked out.
Yeah, he lost me.
No, I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there to absorb. Now, number one, I think Andy and I raised our eyebrows at the same time. Correct me if I'm wrong here, Fred, but if there's no football in 2011, you're not paying a top 10 pick.
You're not paying anyone.
You're not paying anyone. Right?
Right.
Okay, so that's a part of that conspiracy that we can sort of chop off. The Wilfork thing at the very beginning, I was wondering and still kind of wonder about, not how quickly after he was franchised that he signed, just if there was any monetary reason why they had to wait till free agency started
right
to officially announce the deal, because we had been told that it was close.
Right.
For Robert said specifically that mm-hmm. it was close.
When we were at the combine.
A couple of weeks before the before the deal ended up getting, well, maybe not a couple of weeks, but at least a week or so, a week and a half or so.
When we were at the combine, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's a good week, right? Before free agency opened.
But the theory with Steven is that the Peppers and Wilfork,
but they weren't really
was kind of linked.
But
you know,
see,
one,
I don't think there is any link
the
there because they were not in the ballpark.
Well, that's what Steven's theory is.
But
you're disagreeing with it.
No, but let's look at what we know. I mean, when Steven might be right, but what we know for a fact is that there was nowhere. I mean, there's no way they could have signed Wilfork for that deal structured differently and signed Peppers. I mean, you're not talking about an equal amount of money.
No. No, it's much different.
They blew him out of the water, right? There's no way the Patriots were interested in giving Peppers $20 million.
I don't know.
You don't know that?
I don't know. I don't know
you
what
don't, you don't. Know
I don't
that.
Know what how what the temperature gauge was on the interest in Peppers.
Okay.
I don't know that.
All right. Well, in my opinion, I don't think the Patriots were interested in giving Peppers $20 million.
You think they made him an offer, but it wasn't even.
I think if they made him a $20 million offer for like upfront money year one, that he would have at least made a flight to New England.
I would hope so. That's a lot of money.
I mean, based on what he said, that's the kind of team he wanted to play for.
Right. Yeah.
Well, the real question is, up until the point that Pepper signed with the Bears, were the Patriots reserving some money in case they could get something done?
Maybe.
And then at the same time, they announced all of these deals immediately when free agency opened. Wilfork,
right.
Bantikang. Right? Neil, I think he was even in there somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm. Neil and Falk were pretty close
Falk
there.
Falk was a week or so later. But I think on the very first day of free agency, Wilfork, Bantikang, and Neil went boom, boom, boom. And word that they had signed, maybe not official releases by the team, but word that they had been signed. Peppers came out immediately. So, I don't know. I'm not sure I'm in on that.
Yeah.
I'm all for conspiracies, though. I like it, Steven.
I don't buy the thing that Wilfork agreed to two contracts.
There's no way he would do that.
Yeah, no, I don't buy that either.
Well, as long as they're guaranteed at some point in the life of the contract for Wilfork, it's either I get more now or more later.
Yeah, but there's
I don't think there's a big difference.
There's a lot of uncertainty when you're signing two contracts.
I also don't really buy the fact that they gave the money legally to Banta Kane that was going to go.
Yeah.
Because I think they were going to pay Banta Kane all along.
And it happened too fast.
Like,
to
I could agree with Bodden, maybe. There's some little aspects of that are kind of believable, but
that's
not
why I like conspiracy theories in general, and I think there's some thought to that. I don't think it's completely out of left field. But Banta Kane signing immediately tells me that wasn't really part of the equation, in my opinion.
Malcolm Glazer, net worth according to Wikipedia, $2.2 billion. Let's see. He inherited his father's wholesale jewelry business. At the time, he had $300 to his name. Within 5 years, he started investing in other businesses. The business first expanded into property, buying several mobile home or trailer parks in the 1970s, mainly in the Florida area.
Do you ever have an opinion of a guy, and then you find out what the guy really is, and it's like 8,000 times off?
He went on.
I thought he was like a banking kind of guy.
He went on to become president and chief executive officer of First Allied Corporation, a U.S. holding company for his various business interests, such as food processing, marine supplies, health care, real estate, energy exploration, and broadcasting. He's diversified.
Sure is.
You got to diversify. That's what they say. When you get a lot of money, you got to diversify.
It's all about location.
Location, location, location.
Are you diversified in your portfolio?
No.
Do you have a portfolio?
No.
You have
Why don't you have a portfolio?
I have no money. What?
What do you mean you have no money?
You like Glazer? You have $300 to your name?
That's
I'm not buying that he had $300 to his name either. If his dad had a wholesale jewelry business?
Warehouse?
I'm not buying it.
All right. Well, that's Wikipedia. They're never wrong.
Neither is the History Channel.
Right.
Gay Abe.
Let's see. Mark in Oxford. Hi, guys. Hope everyone is well, including Pegleg Perillo. Just a quick one this week. Has there, and if so, what is the example of a team deliberately drafting a player to stop him landing at a rival team? I was thinking in the
Jets,
case
Darrell
of division
Revis.
Rivals, in our case, maybe the Jets. Or do teams just tend to concentrate on themselves?
Yes.
Hope the punctuation was a bit better for you this time, Fred.
Yeah, I would say
it's got to be about the guy. You want the guy.
I think in the Jets' case, they wanted the guy, and they kind of knew that New England probably wanted him, and they kind of
I don't think they ever do that.
Still starts with wanting the guy.
Right. If they didn't want Revis, they wouldn't have drafted Revis. Yeah. If the Patriots didn't want Matt Light, remember they traded up ahead of him because they thought the Jets were going to take him?
Right.
If they didn't want Matt Light, they wouldn't have traded up ahead of him to take Matt Light.
Phil from Nova Scotia, to hell with jumping off the Tobin Bridge. If the Patriots trade out of the first round, I'll cut off my penis and throw it down a well.
Oh, no.
I skinned my pecker.
Oh. Somebody in the last show, Fred, said they were going to jump off the Tobin
if they traded out
of the first round.
So
again.
He'll do it
and Andy
one
said,
better.
Oh, you might that's just not fall. Better. You just might fall. The Tobin could just fall any minute.
Should we hold Phil to Nova Scotia if they actually do that? Should we
No. I certainly don't want to hold it.
Oh.
What the hell is going on over here?
Detachable penis. Do you remember that, Doc?
Yes. Detachable penis.
You get that for me? Play a little clip of that. There was a popular song that was Detachable Penis. I lost it for a while.
It wasn't Rick Astley.
And then I
I'll
found it
that,
at like a flea market. There was on a blanket, and I picked it up. And blah, blah, blah. Like, it's this really weird.
Does Cartman have a version?
He could.
I'm not listening to those radio stations that you guys are, apparently.
Well, that wasn't really a mainstream
song. No, because you listen to gay radio, a.k.a. Howard Stern. It's always about pulling a penis out of somebody's butt.
And you were just asking about a song about a detachable
one,
so there's not much difference between the two of you.
Recently with all of Tiger Woods' bimbos.
But again, I want to see that. It's radio. I need Howard TV. Don't they have
radio.
Howard TV?
Wow. They do.
Yeah, I would watch that because I want to see hot chicks with big boobs.
You can get
they don't have it in HD.
Some of his aren't hot.
They don't have it in HD, Andy.
Oh, then I can't watch it.
The movie was...
I don't know if they do.
Oh, I saw that.
The movie was pretty hot.
Private Parts?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. That was before he went off
the deep end. Jenna Jameson on that.
She was?
Fully nude.
And the girl that...
What a shock.
I mean, that's like groundbreaking stuff to get Jenna Jameson to show her.
I never saw hers. Who was the girl that... Remember, he made her put the speaker down and turned up the bass and all that stuff. She was hot.
Yeah.
Andrew in the Ukraine. Let me first say I don't really care who the best quarterback in this draft is, but I think about Clausen ranges from negligent to borderline defamation by the aforementioned journalist.
McEgo?
There are two things I find to be horrible arguments. One, he wrote somewhere in a limo. Oh, the humanity. If it was any worse, he would have worn a mink coat. Oh, wait, Joe Namath did that already, and it didn't seem to stop him from being considered a team leader.
Well, he showed up at his signing day in a limo.
As a high school senior.
Right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Jimmy Clausen?
Yeah. But that's why people don't like him.
That's it?
That's true.
Well, it's
I
part
think
of
that's
it.
What they, it all stems
yeah.
from.
Really? Two, he had a good receiver in college. You still have to make the throws. Even if this was a valid argument, let's apply it equally. Whose binky will be drafted first, Clausen's or Bradford's? I haven't seen a single mock that puts Tate ahead of Gresham. And
I think there's a possibility.
I think there's definitely a possibility.
Says, I think if we are all honest, our trepidation stems directly from a recent overhyped Notre Dame bust, which is still fresh in our minds.
Well, that's part of it.
Unfairly, I think.
The system guy.
But I think it's a little unfair to compare that.
Who's
I mean,
been
same
Clausen?
System, yeah, but they're different players.
See, here's the thing about Clausen. And, you know, like, again, of course, I'm no expert, but every time I see Notre Dame, they're in a fight for their life. You know, albeit sometimes against what should be an inferior team, but Clausen's making plays, and he's, you know, always trying to come back at the end
and
of the game.
And he plays banged
up.
How
I feel. Yeah. That's kind of how I feel about Clausen this year.
Yeah.
Right.
I thought his junior season, he became a pro prospect. His first
I thought
years,
so too.
I thought he was nothing but a product of hype. Because I didn't see it, especially his first year. I thought he was absolutely
But it was a case
terrible.
Of, you know, the superstar high school kid comes in and you want to anoint him the savior already and you
but
force
like,
feed him.
And
like
he wants to be anointed the savior by arriving
be.
In a limo.
Right. For example, Eric, I remember back when Matthew Stafford was at Georgia, he was a similar kind of guy. He was a can't-miss blue-chip
yep.
guy
yep.
who
I
played
remember.
Immediately as a freshman. Mm-hmm. He struggled, but he made enough plays every game that you said, I know why everybody's
why
on
doing
this
it.
Guy.
Yeah.
You know, you could watch mm-hmm. him throw a, you know, a bullet over the middle and hit someone right in the chest and say, I see why this guy, you know, is so highly
and
thought
you
of.
Didn't see that in
and
Clausen's
a few years later,
years.
Yeah, and I didn't see it at all until last year.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he had a terrific season last year
did.
On a very, very bad team.
Yeah.
He had good receivers,
team.
Yes, but no defense, yeah.
he
no,
and,
no
he
real
and Tate,
running game.
Yeah, he and Tate were the reason
I
they
think,
won as many games
I think
as they
if
did.
If Clausen gets in the right situation, He'll be a fine NFL quarterback.
But who's ripping him? What's the root of this
New England?
Email?
I think he could work in New England. I really do.
I think his point is, why is it so cut and dried that Bradford's won and he's way behind him?
Oh, facts.
Well, that, you know, I'm not saying
that's what he's ripping.
You know, according from what
see
I've
seen it, that's a show. There you go.
I mean, Bradford might be head and shoulders above him, but that
he
doesn't
is.
Mean that Clausen can't have a good NFL career.
Right.
You know? Mick in Ireland. Was just wondering if there was anyone in the draft you would spread
you had a
rumor about so they would drop to us at 22. Also, what's the story with Paul and his book? Haven't heard him talk about it in a long time. Keep up the good work and look forward to your draft shows. They should be interesting.
I don't know if you know he's been laid up with an injury. You might not have heard.
That's
no,
the time
but
to write.
It is. And
it's, point for it.
It's very disappointing because I just
my life.
I don't have it.
Writer's block.
I don't have it.
You don't have
it's
it?
It's not coming back to me.
Really?
I had...
Well, a year ago, you were popping out chapters left
and
right.
And I was really excited about it. And Eric, my de facto editor, was reading every chapter as I went and giving me suggestions. And I've written about a half a chapter so far this entire offseason.
You need a ghostwriter?
I just need
some
kind of...
I can make a lot of stuff about Everett.
I need some kind of incentive or something. I don't know, inspiration.
So what do you think about his first thing? Guys that we would be willing to spread a rumor about so they would drop to us.
C.J. Spiller.
Oh, yeah.
Is
oh I need the rumor
you need to
yeah.
actually make
oh.
up the rumor
CJ Spiller is a big Abe Lincoln fan I don't know the rumor the specific rumor did you know who finished first and second in the
he's got a torn ACL
what
CJ Spiller he's got a partially torn ACL it's
oh I heard
big
about
time
that
medical risk
I heard about that.
Only Fred blinks with both eyes when he's trying to sell something.
No, I had that pepper from the pizza got in my eye.
The pepper from the pizza got in your
eye? And Sam Bradford.
Sam Bradford, you take him if he dropped to 22?
Yeah, his shoulder's worse than it is. His shoulder is worse than
yeah, he never thought. Actually had it fixed. He had one
despite
of his...
Despite what you saw at that pro
right,
day.
Right, right.
One of his distant Native American relatives just did the Miyagi thing, rubbed his hands together, and that's how they fixed it, so there's some concern that it's going to recur.
Okay. All right.
Is it to the holistic medicine?
Did we tell you at the combine, some reporter actually asked him if the Redskins were interested in him, if he and drafted him if he refused to play for them?
Right.
Would he refuse to play for
he
them
laughed.
On the grounds that it's discriminatory? And right. he laughed and was like, no.
Because it gets to my whole theory. Right. Everybody else is offended for other people.
Right.
You should be offended by that.
I'm offended that you're not offended.
You're a Native American. You should be offended by that. He laughs. I'm glad that he laughs.
Yeah.
It just went up a notch in my book.
Anthony from Boynton Mine Beach too. Says, I will puke
impossible
if the Patriots take Timbo in the first round.
Timbo.
Timbo. That's good.
Timbo.
Timbo.
Contraction like name.
That's what we're going to call him now. Timbo in the first round with the 22nd pick. Jared Odrick would be the much better fit and provide a potent combination with Vince Wilfork manning the middle. What do you guys think?
Last pick, second round, Tebow.
What about Odrick?
Christ, North Carolina.
What about what?
Odrick?
I haven't watched his tape yet. Everybody raves about him. He was very impressive at the combine. He's the Seymour type. I just, as we talked about the other day, I'm not really sold on that need and that hole.
Until you watch the film and see what he can do.
No, maybe. But even that, I don't.
You don't like the position.
Seymour
you don't
back,
want the position.
You're still going to have issues, and you decided you wanted to get Seymour, and you've decided that Brace and Wright and Pryor and these guys.
Well, maybe they didn't want Seymour for other reasons.
Well, I think clearly they would have held on to him if he had 3 years on his contract. I think they felt they were going to lose him, and they wanted to get something for him.
Yeah.
That's why I don't criticize the trade. I think it was a good trade. They probably were going to lose
and
him.
And you remember how disappointed Patriots fans, some of whom said they were going to resign,
When they drafted
Seymour.
Yeah.
And that was the sixth overall pick. You're talking about 22.
But you needed it. Oh, yeah. They had no one then.
I know, but
They still have two other guys that is
one's a multi-time Pro Bowl, or the other
one
supposedly
just gave,
a Pro Bowl level guy.
And one you just gave a multi-million dollar contract.
Again, we haven't watched his tape, but if he shows like he's a playmaker, then I wouldn't have a problem.
But I don't think
he's
a playmaker. And even if
he's
a playmaker,
end.
Was Richard Seymour a playmaker?
No.
I think there were times when he was.
And I'm high on Richard Seymour, but the very nature of that position is...
I want a guy
that
can make plays with regularity. I want an athlete. I want a guy for that edge. I want Sergio Kindle. Because Bill wants him, not really.
Hey, Doc, have you listened to the premium quality MP3?
Where is detachable penis?
Yes.
Why don't we listen to...
Hang on.
Your mom has it.
Mikey Vandalism's premium quality email.
What's up, guys? At PFW in Progress. This is Mikey Vandalism coming to you with premium quality. So my question for this week is on Tennessee D-tackle Dan Williams, prospect. He's supposed to go in the mid-first round. So my question is this. Why are the New England Patriots looking at a D-tackle when we just re-signed Vince Wilfork? I can understand if we got rid of him, dealt him somehow, and possibly looked at this Dan Williams guy is the future and everything like that, but he's not the future. We've already re-signed Vince Wilfork. We have a very pressing need at a playmaker, at a DN, or an outside linebacker, and here we are looking at a D-tackle. Are you kidding me? First of all, we have to trade up to get this guy, and if we really needed backups, if you're talking about depth and development, we just drafted that slob Ron Brace that hasn't done anything yet. He hasn't developed anywhere, and Myron Pryor has even gotten past him, and he's, what, a sixth-round pick? Are you kidding me? You're really going to waste that high of a pick when we have pressing needs at a playmaking position. We need somebody that can get to the quarterback and knock him out as keister, and here you are looking at D-tackle Dan Williams. Well, unless you're going to consider putting him to D-end, I think it's absolutely ludicrous to draft a person of his caliber. So I was just wondering what your thoughts were. I was a little heated when I was reading that. I think it was on the Boston Globe.
Still is.
And I was like, you got to be kidding me. All right, so what do you guys got to say about that?
We're just kidding.
How big is Dan Williams?
We are just kidding you.
How big is Dan Williams?
6'2".
No, but I mean pound-wise.
He's big enough to play.
Could he play nose?
Well, I think that's what the whole rant
no,
was
but
about.
I'm just saying maybe now you use Wilfork on the outside a little bit more.
Yeah, I don't think you want that.
My question is, what if they're going 4-3?
3:30, right. Fred is.
Now you can have them both on the inside.
3:30.
That's why I'm asking.
Yeah.
Well, that's the only way it would work.
Yeah.
Because I don't, and I'm going to defer to my draft guru here.
Okay, Paul.
Is Dan Williams a 3-4 end?
I don't think so.
If he's not, I mean, I've just looked at his size. He's not by size. 6'2", no. 3:30.
I don't think so.
But if you are thinking of going 4-3,
then that makes sense.
Then you need another interior guy next to
him. But they could also be looking at him thinking that he might slip into the second round. Who knows?
They do due diligence.
They have to do their due diligence.
Listen, I have no problem with looking at him. That's a different argument. Whether or not he's a fit.
Mikey Vandalism turned into Mikey Venom.
I like it, though. I like the passion.
I do, too. It's the first time he showed that kind of passion.
Zach from Syracuse.
Zach from Syracuse.
He just checked Pro Football Talk, and it looks like Alex Brown is going to be released, so no need to pick up the contract.
Right.
From the Bears. They're going to release him.
I think we talked about a little bit about that on Tuesday.
That was a weird story. He wanted an extension, and then they cut him.
Okay.
And he actually kind of announced it, I think, on his Twitter.
Is that another one of those quality players going to be available?
There's going to be players available, Paul.
Yeah.
I have no doubt there'll be players available.
I woke up this morning with a
guys,
just not good ones.
Oh, this is your song, Andy.
This happens all the time.
Phil writes
turn it up.
In.
Bunch of drowned out friends.
Yeah.
Who's this?
Astley?
This is his detachable unit.
Hello!
Detachable penis. That would be good, Doc. It's all hello.
Yeah.
And my hip?
For some reason,
hello!
Really, Fred?
That's
my
enough.
Hip?
That's enough.
All right, oh, I'm sorry. Are you offended?
Why do you wear your headphones like that? In all seriousness, both of them. That ship's already sailed.
Web radio.
Why do you wear your headphones like that?
I just don't want something on top. It's more comfortable this way.
They're not even like
they're
attached
not built
to your
that
ears,
way.
Though.
They're shaped specifically to go up and down with
I
your
can
ears.
Hear fine.
No, you can't. Why do you always say what when
but
we
you
ask
look
you
ridiculous?
But it's a lot looser because now you got to spread them out this way. It's a lot looser.
So why didn't you wear the
old
ones?
You need to make
like
a quick
that?
Exit.
I did sometimes.
No, you didn't.
I never saw you.
Those bows were very comfortable.
These are specifically designed to go up and down, and you're not wearing them properly.
Well, why does it bother you?
Because it looks ridiculous.
Does it bother me at all?
Who cares?
You look
like
Princess Leia right now.
We're on a radio show, for Christ's sake.
I don't know why you have to get so mad and use the Lord's name in vain.
We're on radio.
Especially on Holy Thursday.
Why, did I say Tim Tebow?
Oh, good, Fred.
Let's see. Who's this? John in Raleigh, North Carolina. How do you feel about Romeo and Weiss going to the Colts as their new offensive and defensive coordinators? He
Chiefs.
Has the Colts here.
Yeah, he's wrong.
I'm more than a little disappointed that we didn't do this first, and regrettably, I have to say, it kind of makes me feel uneasy about this coming season. I know a lot can change before the season starts, but I feel this makes the, he said Colts again, much better, and I think the Patriots may have missed a good opportunity.
They did.
Get
don't
the
worry.
Off the field!
Well, you'll feel better when you find out it's the Chiefs,
right.
Actually,
yeah.
Not the Colts.
Right.
I would have liked to have had Romeo back, no question.
Yeah, I like that idea.
In a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Not so sure about Charlie.
Yeah, I can. Yeah. I would have taken Charlie back, too.
George from
play
South Carolina.
Play the Glory Days song again.
George from South Carolina writes in
David
a
Patton,
few
I mean,
comments.
Yeah,
interesting
I didn't say
piece
I like
about
that
Adalys Thomas on MoveTheSticks.com about being more of a blitzer and not a natural pass rusher, which is why he was so successful in Ryan's scheme but not ours. Okay?
I read that.
And two, as far as the draft goes, thoughts on selecting Jared Odrick to replace Seymour at 22 significantly helps out the pass rush, having that third dominant lineman. McKenzie seems a better fit at inside linebacker, and shift Guyton outside to the strong side linebacker position seems like a more athletic option for covering tight ends.
Well, McKenzie is
an
inside linebacker.
You don't have to switch him
play.
And I'm not sure Guyton. Well, I think Guyton's probably better suited as a sub linebacker.
He's a sub
anyway.
Linebacker, no
yeah.
doubt.
I don't think he's an every down outside guy.
Not a 3-4 outside linebacker. He's a 4-3 outside linebacker.
And Odrick is definitely, as Andy and Eric have pointed out, he's got that 3-4 end. He's the guy. Mm-hmm. He's the Seymour replacement. I'm not sure how much that helps your pass rush, because I don't think those guys are going to do a whole lot.
I shouldn't
to
say
help
it doesn't. It does, but
it helps
does.
A little bit. But
it's not what I'm looking for.
Paul just wanted you to know.
Finally, George says, in the second round, try and pick up tight end Anthony McCoy and a developing pass rusher like Jermaine Cunningham from Florida. I just don't see them using all three second-rounders because they'll most likely be worth decent first-round picks next year.
Not worried about next year.
Good.
Worried about this year.
I actually think they might get down into the third round with some of the second. Maybe
third and a fifth?
You know, move down a little bit and cut down some of those gaps, the holes that they have in the draft.
They'll probably do that, right? A third and a fifth for a second?
Sure, why not?
TGNJ says, hey, DraftKnicks, which magazines are best to help get a clue about the draft? I've been reading Lindy's and Sporting News. Is there one you would recommend? Which websites do you like? Also, when does the PFW draft edition come out?
Next week.
Yep. Newsstands Wednesday.
Yep. Next week, I think it'll be as comprehensive as any for the, especially in regards to the Patriots.
If you get it in the mail, look for it on May 7th.
That's well, next. That's
Paul
next week.
Paul put his foot down this year and said, "I want to make sure that
it's too hard, huh?"
What?
You put your foot down this year and said, "I want to make sure."
No, he can't put his foot down. So he said, "I'm stepping away."
In terms of
gimping away
of the magazine's Pro Football Weekly, Nolan Naraki.
I don't know about that. I'm a big fan of the Ranger. I think the NFL Draft Scout boys do a fine job.
Yep. What about Kuiper's Guide?
Kuiper's good.
Kuiper's, I think it's a different kind of.
Oh, there's always Our Lads.
No, there isn't.
You can't buy Our Lads on the newsstand, though. You got to subscribe.
If you like pastel paper.
No, those are the newsletters. Then they come out with a book.
Which you have?
It hasn't come yet.
Is it as out of date as the newsletters generally are?
No.
Oh. Saw that March newsletter on your desk talking about how free agency and everything should have come out a little earlier. No?
Well, it came out in the beginning of March.
Yeah, after Vince Wilfork had already re-signed. It should have been the February one.
All right.
Are they going to tell me in May who's good to be drafted?
Our Lads is okay. They've gone down, though. You know, I really.
Maybe I'll get them if they go down.
Sam in Chicago.
Speaking of going down.
Oh,
Jesus.
She says, Fred.
Hey, Sam.
I'll do my best to get more of my girlfriends to listen to you guys and to spread the word to the Chicago Patriots fan base.
Nice.
Regarding April Fool's Day, my favorite trick is to replace the sugar in the office with salt. Watch the coffee fun begin. And to add more.
That must taste awful.
To add more fuel to the fire, if the Patriots don't trade out of their first round draft pick this year, I'll send in a real picture of me in my custom PFW bikini.
Nice. Now, this is going to be the picture of you as a woman, in quotes, right? Because Eric believes you're a man.
Wow. He's looking for
is that proof. Right, Eric?
I
have my doubts that this has been one long extended April.
Charade.
Boy, it's too bad that window's charade. Closed because.
I know, believe me. Punching myself all the time.
How's the campaign going, Eric? How's the campaign going?
I haven't building decided your base yet, yet, Fred.
I'm going to tell
yes,
you.
Yes, I am building a base.
I would run on the anti-flood
start
platform.
That vlog I told you to start?
No,
that'd
but
be big
I,
in Rhode Island.
No, but you got to
yeah,
start
Fred,
it,
no
Eric.
But.
What
no, but.
It's like my son, Will.
It's the new yeah. Eric. No, but.
But I.
Remember the kid that we used to have the work
it's true.
For? Hey, so did you get that article written?
Randolph.
Yeah, I just have to.
You have the must stops done? Yeah, I just have to. And it would come down to like, you know.
No, the answer's no.
Finish both of them. So then no.
What are you running for again?
You're so full of it.
Have we discussed
I haven't
this
decided the Senate yet. I was considering, I am considering running for a state Senate seat in Rhode
How many
Island.
Of those are there?
38.
So how many, how large a.
69.
That's the district. North Providence and part of Providence.
How many signatures you need to get on the ballot?
I think you need a.
69.
Signatures, Eric.
We can get that just one day here.
No, they have to be registered voters
in the
voters
district.
You don't take any from the UK?
No, but I think donations. Right donations.
No, but Barack Obama does with Acorn.
Yes, that's a good point.
I'm trying. He's in town today, Fred. You gonna see him?
No.
Barry.
Barack.
They're having dinner in the North End tonight.
Oh, I didn't know. What?
With Tebow.
Yeah, right. So
you haven't started yet.
I haven't decided if that's what I'm going to do or not.
What are you
going
to wait till you're 60?
What are you, like Mario Cuomo deciding you're going to run for president? What's taking
What was that name?
Mario Cuomo.
Oh.
Lubricants.
It didn't really come out that
What are you deciding on?
Like
Whether
Mariano
or not it's
Rivera
the right thing
the
to do.
Time.
Why would it be the wrong thing to do?
For a lot of reasons.
Because he's failed so often.
You're not running. So think, you don't think you're going to win, right? You're just going to try to build a base to maybe future success?
No, you run thinking you're going to win.
Now, what's
if you
fun?
Run thinking you're going to lose,
now,
you've already lost.
On this particular campaign, what's the Iowa?
Then you probably shouldn't
campaign?
Run then.
Where do you have to go and like make your first speech?
The Italian something something.
Huh?
It's
Bob's Deli or something like that.
Mineral Spring Ave is the heart of North Providence.
So you just stand
part
there
of Smith Street.
Why do you get the shoulder shrug going? Gee, you really are a politician. You just I don't know. Well, you could go either way. I could flip flop anytime you want.
No.
You got this politician thing down pat.
It's diplomatic. It's being diplomatic.
Have you had any fundraisers?
Scott Brown had the jacket.
No, you don't have a fundraiser until you've decided that you're going
to
do it.
Don't you have to? But once you decide you're doing it, don't you already have to have the money to immediately hit the ground running with a campaign, with stickers, with
Are you for or against mayo on an Italian sub? Because that's like abortion in there.
Gerard?
What? No.
You're going to be his campaign manager?
I might help him out a little bit, depending on his platform.
I might seek
advice.
He hasn't
told me what his views are yet.
You know what my views are.
Why does everybody seek advice
you
from
know
Fred?
What my
but
views
he knows
are.
Nothing about anything.
Fred, Fred, off the air, knows more than you would think.
But I hear all these people all day long coming
why
into
does
his
he
office
save that
from various departments, and I don't know why they care what you think.
I don't
I think
either,
it's
really.
The connection
he's
to Jonathan,
got him
but he's influential.
We're building CBS scene. You got to get Fred involved.
Why?
Fred, why?
He's been
he's
there
a
from the beginning.
He eats a lot. Look at him.
I mean, why?
Fred, you were born in Rhode Island, were you not?
I was.
So you have a history there.
I do.
You have some
Fred
roots.
Was born in every state.
Right. He's rooted for every team.
I lived on
he's lived
Rochambeau
in every...
Avenue, yep. Methyl Street, Grayton Drive. And
geez, you moved around a lot, huh?
Yeah.
They're on the run. On the lam.
I never
those
moved.
Three streets. And obviously my grandmother lived on Admiral Street.
Yep. Yeah, and the Admiral Spa. Right?
Oh. Admiral Spa. We used
Did
to
you
walk
just say
down.
Obviously my grandmother lived on Admiral
Why
Spa?
Would we know where your grandmother lived?
Obviously everybody's grandmother
obviously
lived.
Fred obviously Fred Kurtz.
He was here today, by the way.
If you're from Providence, your grandmother lived on Admiral Street.
Did you see Chris today? Chris Collins was in the house today.
I saw him. He stopped in.
I think he's the one who asked about
yeah,
the
little woolen tote.
Guys are here, obviously.
Are you really going to run for something?
Andy Hart.
I'm
here
considering
go,
it. You want to consider it? Consider
you're
it.
You're not going to handle it well if you
that
get blown
That would be great
up.
Stuff, though, because following your campaign on this show, that'd be great.
It would
it
be.
Would.
When's the election?
November. November 2nd.
Shouldn't you get moving? When's the deadline to submit papers?
End of May, early June, somewhere around there.
Wow, so you really could be leaving. No April Fool's joke.
No,
well,
no,
I don't think this pays enough.
No, the state legislature is a part-time gig.
Oh,
and this one is too, so it's perfect.
So you just couldn't travel to the
So
away
that's
games.
What we're looking for, is you to get a part-time job. Okay.
Part-time nights in from January to June.
And in Rhode Island, you get paid under the table, right? Game, huh? In a plain white envelope?
Paul, you might have to go to the combine.
We don't talk about those things.
This envelope's a little light this week.
It is. It's a little light.
You think you can get 1,000 signatures?
Oh, I think you could.
Every candidate has to.
Did I ever tell you the time I got elected?
I don't have questions about other candidates. It's you I'm questioning.
You don't think you could walk into Dartmouth and get 1,000 signatures?
I have no idea. Not really. I don't know 1,000 people.
The bigger thing would be getting campaign contributions.
Yes, you do.
I believe you can get contributions from anybody, anywhere.
Right.
But
well, make sure you know those rules.
Well, I've already.
You don't want to get blown out of the water before you start.
I've said
I get arrested.
The IRS is
kind of.
I'm sorry. I thought
he's getting upset with us now.
I thought you could
we're
get
giving you free publicity. Although now we have to bring the opponent on, right? Isn't that
right?
The
right. We have to give equal time.
I have sent an email to the Board of Elections to inquire about contributions because the wording in their literature is unclear about who.
Right now, there's four guys at an office going, "Ah, Scavolino's thinking of running."
Scavolino.
Or Big Will works there.
What?
Will Mendenson.
Oh, yeah.
Did I ever tell you the time I got elected to the...
Yes.
Scavolino.
No, you didn't. Go ahead.
When I lived in Weston...
What did you do?
I got elected to the Weston Republican Town Committee. What happened? There was a vacancy.
What's a Republican Town Committee? Is there also a Democrat?
It's part of the RNC. So...
the leadership of the
yes.
party.
The local
party.
At the time, there was a seat vacancy. Someone quit or moved or whatever. So it was a seat vacancy. No one was running
seat
with it.
Taken?
And this guy told me, look, all you need is 12 people to vote for you.
See, I could get 12. I think I could
right.
get 12.
That's the minimum amount of votes.
I'm just talking about signatures.
And if you can
different.
Get 12 votes, you're in if there's no one else running for that seat. So I made 12 calls. They all agreed to vote for me, and I got elected.
So what did you
and
have
actually,
to do?
So after the election,
12-11?
My name wasn't on there. So I actually went into the office, and they had to do a recount, and sure enough. There were 12 votes for me, and I got elected.
A recount?
Yeah.
Taking the Andy Hart approach is minimum
votes?
Work necessary. Yeah. I'll get exactly 12.
They were going to hold me back.
Did you run for any office?
You know.
Like school,
oh, yeah.
school office or anything?
I won. I was president for a couple of years.
Yeah, I had no interest.
Eighth grade. That was my one and only experience running.
I think
campaign.
I was. Fresh grade class president, one in a landslide.
Some
one
girl,
like 40 to 2 or 30
Mine,
to 2.
Somebody else
to
nominated
two,
me, though, and then they were like, you got to do your speech today. And I was like, all right. And just winged it and won.
You talk like that? Well,
yeah.
It's like he was holding an auction.
2 years.
You all know me. I play football.
You should know I got a little wiener.
Yeah, I told you, Paul.
All right.
ESPN producer remembers me.
508-543-7482.
Now, that's a good one.
Who, Adam Hart?
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address.
Go get wiped out of the water in the North Providence district.
Let's get back to some emails here.
Mr. Seven, thank you very much.
Yeah. Phil writes in. Phil from Alpharetta, Georgia.
Alpharetta.
I wanted to let you know that I finished the Atlanta Marathon on March 21st. I listened
good.
To you guys for most of the race. It really helped me to get through.
Really?
That's interesting.
He thought if he ran faster, the show would end sooner.
Please, just stop this nonsense.
We're big with marathoners. You know what we should do?
Oh, God. We already came up with the idea, Fred.
For the Boston Marathon, we should get people iPods with t-shirts.
Oh, I thought he was
going to
say we should run.
I'm listening to PFW in progress while they're running.
Freddie, can we?
That's not a bad idea.
Why don't you give the Patriots marathon team that?
Yeah, we're going to start. No. We're going to start a PFW running.
To actually finish the race.
We're going to start a PFW running club. Can we expense that to you or something?
We are.
Well, not you.
You're going to help. You're going to be the moral support.
Are you going to be running after work
here
and all that crap?
No,
you're
going to
support us if we run
about
like a 5K, 3-mile, 5K, not marathon.
You're going to be discouraging.
So who's we?
You're going to heckle?
Well, Eric and I have discussed it with Maura, one of our designers. And one of the
husband,
guys was mildly interested.
Right?
Her husband.
Maura's husband
Ferreira?
Would do it?
I doubt it.
No, I don't think so, even though he's got a runner's body. Yeah, his wife wouldn't let him.
If you do it, I'll buy you metal water bottles.
No, we want like t-shirts that say like Team Patriots Football Weekly or something.
Team PFW.
But I kind of want Patriots Football Weekly so people actually learn the name eventually, because it's been around for over 15 years and people still call it Patriots Pro Football Weekly.
Yeah. I'll get you some Fruit of the Loom blanks and we'll silk screen it on.
And we can
we're promoting the running game. Hey?
That was all Eric's idea.
Why would you do
stupid.
That?
These the kinds of things you're going to do on your platform?
You need a campaign manager.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Fred.
Yeah.
I think it should be you, Fred.
I haven't heard his platform. I might not agree with his views.
I haven't heard his platform. We argue about politics all the time.
I'm pretty sure you're not going to agree with his views based on
your
political argument.
We didn't vote for the same person for president. You know that already.
Right.
Right.
That, you know, that's okay.
Right.
I wouldn't hold that against you.
What do you want to know?
All politics are local. So I need to know, you know.
And we don't live in the same town.
He has the greatest little sayings.
Right.
That
was Tip O'Neill who said that.
Oh, sorry.
What does that mean?
It means when it gets down to it, it's. What
how does it
you
affect
locally?
You? Yeah.
You know.
I'm pretty sure this helps.
You vote for the person that
me, no?
It's gonna affect everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's gonna bankrupt the country. Of course it's gonna affect everybody.
It is.
Talk to me when
my
that
campaign
happens.
Manager is shaking
our,
his head.
Our deficit's going over 90% of the GDP. That's the official point where it affects you negatively.
Sometimes
really hurts you
have to spend to save eventually.
Eventually he's not gonna get here.
What, in 2037?
Yeah.
Which is what he tells his son when he asks for more money.
Right. That doesn't make sense, Doc.
Spend to save. He's asking for money.
Yeah. He has to explain.
Sorry, that was a two-gender moment there.
A lot of emails.
Let's see. Phil says, you guys are not keen about Brandon Marshall. Hopefully the Pats do not share your opinion. I just don't know where the offense will come from. Last year they struggled to score or even get first downs in crunch time against decent teams. That was when they were only missing a third receiver. With Wes Welker out and Randy Moss a year older, they are in much worse shape. You guys bring up Vincent Jackson. I would love to have him, but how likely is this? The draft compensation for him is a 1 and a 3. For Marshall, it's only a 1. The Chargers do not want to lose Jackson, especially to the Pats. We would have to offer him an above-market contract. Otherwise, the Chargers will match. The Broncos clearly want to move Marshall, and he wants to leave. He would cost less in draft picks and maybe in dollars as well.
Not less in dollars. He ain't signing for less in dollars.
Yeah, he's not.
I agree with you about the compensation. It's only, that's black and white, but he thinks he is T.O.
Mm.
He's going to be looking to knock it out of the park.
At what point are we going to give up on the restricted free agent market, noticing that no one in the restricted free agent market is moving?
Particularly when I think there's 14 days left now.
Yeah, we're running out of time.
Right?
Yeah.
No.
Isn't it the 15th? I think it's April 15th.
It's
the deadline for offering.
It's
a week before the draft.
Well,
yeah, we're running out of time. Today's April 1st. Okay.
I don't know the answer to this. I'm just asking. After the UFA
Just so you know, you had a Paul moment right there.
I know.
You talked yourself into it.
Not swapping picks.
After the RFA.
Yeah, swapping picks.
After this deadline, you can still trade for guys, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're talking about making offers.
We're talking about restricted free agents.
No, but like guy signs his restricted free agent tender. He's still eligible to be traded, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh.
What's
my tongue?
It's just a deadline for him to sign it, right?
You know how that.
No, it's a deadline to sign someone to an offer sheet. It's April 15th.
Okay.
Right.
Right.
But that has nothing to do with a team then after that. You can still trade for Brandon Marshall.
You think that's going to cost you less then?
I don't know. I'm just saying. Okay. It's not like it's,
I told you.
It's not a trading deadline.
What? He had some? I had some?
I had one.
Bitches.
What are you looking for?
He wanted the cinnamon sticks that he already had five of.
You didn't throw away the little tub of stuff, was it?
See,
because I like to lick that out.
It's in the box.
I like to lick it out of the box.
Oh, see.
What?
Phil also says, it is true that every year a rookie receiver has a big impact, but never for us in the Belichick era. Our track record on offensive skill players stinks. Dan Graham, Deion Branch, Bethel Johnson, Ben Watson, Chad Jackson, Lawrence Maroney.
Deion Branch should not be in there.
And Kevin O'Connell.
Didn't Bethel Johnson have a big impact rookie year as well, success in the bunch.
Graham was good but not great. Branch had moments but was not a consistent big producer.
Did he say Kevin
MVP
O'Connell?
In the Super Bowl. Compare that to our record.
Skill talking about players.
Oh. Deion Branch as a rookie caught 43 passes for 489 yards and two touchdowns. That's a good rookie year. Sorry.
Yeah.
And that
was back in the day before it was all pass.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Brady had a good year that year, but not 3,700 yards as opposed to the 45 and plus that he throws for now.
Those 40-something passes are high 50s, low 60s now, equated to the new offense that's pass first.
Compare that to our record with trades for skill guys. Corey Dillon, Wes Welker, and Randy Moss were all huge successes.
Two were considered bad guys,
but caused no problems when they were with us.
Greg Lewis. Who was that?
Corey Dillon, Wes Welker.
Corey Dillon
Randy
caused
Moss.
Plenty of problems, by the way.
You're leaving out the negatives. You can't just pick the ones you want to pick.
Well,
we had some bad ones, too.
I think the risk of trying to get a strong number two receiver in the draft is too great. If it does not happen, it could kill the whole season. We need to fill the spot with a proven veteran. We can then use our picks to get the pass
rusher.
Because
proven veterans always work out.
Other areas
Joey Galloway was great.
Needing help.
There's no guarantee, however you bring a new guy in, that he's going to fit.
Upset at you,
rookie,
yeah.
Veteran, anything.
But I happen to agree. I think they do need to bring in a veteran wide receiver, despite the problems they had in the past.
I don't have any problem with bringing in a veteran wide receiver.
But I don't know if it's Brandon Marshall.
That's exactly right. And that's why I understood why they were interested in Anquan Boldin, because I think he would have been a guy that fit the bill.
Fill
the bill.
Eric likes to tell you like he knew it before I told him it.
I don't think Brandon Marshall's that guy. He's going to cost you way too much money, which is going to make him a bigger risk than Randy Moss and Corey Dillon and those bad guys that they're talking
about. Right,
because
people forget that when Randy Moss came, it was a very team-friendly deal. It's only after he proved himself that he started making the big bucks. They could have gotten rid of him after 1 year if they wanted to.
Is that what you got
to
do to prove yourself?
Very little loss.
23
very
touchdowns.
Little,
give the team the best offense in history.
Well, in Moss's defense, when he got the big bucks, he kept playing.
Right.
And Dillon, he didn't. When he got his contract after he proved himself his first year, he went to tank.
Chase in Florida says, I will start believing Tebow really is God's best friend if a team wastes anything more than a third-round pick on him.
The real
challenge is getting him to think like a pass-first quarterback whose main strengths are reading defenses, quick decisions, and accuracy, and none of those are especially strong Tebow attributes. Tebow's main strength is emotional leadership, which doesn't work in the NFL if you can't play, and running on broken plays, except you're not dealing with college speed anymore. I would love for them to get two pass rushers and a wide out, with two of them being Golden Tate and Brandon Spikes. Just curious, what do you think about Tebow as a linebacker or tight end, and where Jordan Shipley will go?
I don't see any chance of a linebacker.
I don't either.
Linebacker.
Maybe he's got that size. I don't even see him as a true tight end. No. I think he's going to have to be a versatile H-back kind of guy.
Yeah,
I agree.
But, and what was the other one? Oh, I'm all for the Brandon Spikes Golden Tate draft.
I like those guys. Both. Mm-hmm.
What about Jordan Shipley?
Still need a pass rusher, though.
Fourth round.
Somewhere in there. I told you, Fred. I watched that tape wanting to hate him. I do hate him, but I take him.
Who, Shipley?
Yeah.
He's a fourth-round guy. He's productive.
I think he's
very
productive.
Productive guy.
I just don't like him.
You know that guy in Notre Dame that everybody hated? He ended up playing baseball.
Samardzija.
I think he's him, but he's better. He's that,
you think Shipley
that
is Samardzija?
Samardzija
was a much better receiver.
Much better athlete.
Yeah.
You think so?
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah. I know so.
Yeah.
I think this Shipley's going to be. I think he's.
I said it.
He
so
looks
it's,
like
that's a fact. But it's not really debatable. The facts are
he was a better athlete. He was a better
player,
receiver.
You could say Shipley's better as a player, a productive player.
That's what I think.
But in terms of
athleticism. But they remind me of the similar type of
size,
player.
Speed, strength. Jumping ability, hand.
He was
all Samardzija.
As I told you, one of the quotes from a scout on,
and he
on
was like, what,
Shipley
six,
is, you're
going
to want to cut him every day you have him, but he'll just make plays and you won't be able to cut him. Samardzija was not that. Samardzija's a world-class type athlete. I mean, he can play professional sports, two different sports.
Except in your mind,
I didn't love Samardzija, yeah, but as an athlete, he was he's had
I didn't like his look.
He had it all over Shipley.
How's he doing in baseball?
Look,
just okay.
Yeah,
but he's a major league pitcher.
Any chance he's going to try to go to football?
No, I don't think so.
He'd be crazy if he did.
I mean, he's a regular major league pitcher.
He's in the major leagues.
Yeah.
And it's only been, this is his third year?
I mean,
I think this will be his third year.
He's one of those. He's a
tweener. Like he's fledgling in the minor leagues.
He's up and down. He's kind of like one of those 4A players. He's up and down. But why would you ever leave baseball and the guaranteed money and go play football and bang your head into a wall?
No, he's. I mean,
it's not like
that was because he hated the Bucks.
Deion Sanders, right?
Well, that's a little different.
I don't know. Guys want to do both. They just need to prove it to themselves.
I think it's
because
he
went to baseball
Bucks,
because
you know
football,
I mean.
He was pissed at the Bucks and wasn't going to sign, so I'll go play baseball for a while.
Yeah, but then he kept doing it.
Right, because
he realized he could.
Yeah. And he was making guaranteed dollars.
Because he liked the Bucks, the other kind of Bucks.
Oh. Okay, like Eric's name.
That's interesting. Maybe, you know, who knows? Maybe he will try to play both.
Scott,
are you really comparing Samardzija with both?
Oh, for God's
sakes.
Here we go.
Let's not be ridiculous.
One's healthy, the other isn't.
One's the greatest athlete that ever walked the earth.
One can speak, the other stutters.
Right.
One's the greatest athlete that ever walked the planet.
That could have
Thank you.
Ever walked the planet.
No, one knows, no. The other
he
doesn't.
He was the greatest athlete that ever walked
one
the planet.
One had the greatest potential
Jim
of
Thorpe.
Any athlete ever.
Jim Thorpe is second on the list, Paul.
let's
like
see.
Sam Bradford.
I got to go Gene
Conley. A Native
Conley.
American. Babe Dickinson.
Scott from Southwick.
Dickerson.
Scott from Southwick. Gentlemen, thanks for the outstanding draft coverage. All of you seem to agree that Graham or Kindle will be the pick at 22. Who would you be your backup pick if both are gone and you couldn't trade out? A lot of mock drafts have the Pats taking Jared Odrick, but he's earned the infamous Andy Hart down arrow. Is it too early for Golden Tate, Jerry Hughes, or Ricky Sapp?
You gave him a down arrow?
I don't believe I've given him an arrow yet.
You haven't watched him yet, have you?
No, the arrow doesn't come till I watch him. The process is the combine, the scouting reports, the secondhand reports, reading up on guys, and then boom, watch the tape and make a final decision. That's how it works. That's when they get an arrow.
Wow. Kamani.
I'd be very surprised, by the way, about Graham.
Kamani says Graham. There's no way Eric can win the election. There's too much dirt out there on him.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the
you
new
don't
photos?
Want Misty May coming back to haunt
the tape
you.
Of him singing Who? The national anthem. The clip of making a bad joke comparing Obama to a watermelon.
Lying
he
about
have
your,
a girlfriend.
Your football career. You,
the
when you lie about your resume, that really hurts you. Remember that the Ron Johnson guy, the manager of the Blue Jays? Was that Ron Johnson?
No, it was
somebody. Can't lie on your resume. Don't. That's another one.
Terry something. Wasn't his name Terry?
Hatcher?
No, she wasn't hot.
Taylor?
I forget his name. Oh, Tim Johnson.
Huh,
Tim
see,
Johnson
I had the
was.
Right Johnson.
Jeff in Texas, Eric, I hate to break it to you,
Johnson.
But men of a certain age who are not and have not been married don't win Republican primaries.
Is that true?
You're assuming I'm running as a Republican. Mistake on your part.
Oh, he could be an independent.
Damn right.
Wow. It's
a teabagger. I mean,
you know,
a tea party.
At some point.
They call them teabaggers, don't they?
No, that's a different movement altogether.
Oh, there's teabag.
One is squatting and the other is a political.
Start your own party, the Arabian Goggles.
At some point. At some point, you're going to have to explain
is nothing
to us
serious
who Kamani is, because the change in your demeanor when that email started to get read. We
he pushes away from the mic.
We need this story.
No, there's no story. I just like intelligent emailers.
We need this story.
Wow.
Is this the man?
I don't. They have no place here.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Pat from
who
Chicago
stalkers.
Is on the phone.
Love
Pat,
Chicago.
How you doing?
Used to be known as Sam.
I was just.
Well, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, Pat, how are you?
Hey, Pat, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
Great.
We'll take Eric in Chicago. We have some corrupt politicians.
Sure.
and you can vote more than once over there, right?
You can vote early and often.
Get all those right. 1,000 yeah. signatures. They're all your own.
That's right.
Yeah, I'll change my name 1,000 times.
you didn't vote for Blagojevich, did you?
No.
Good.
I don't think anyone did. It just happened.
That's true. No one did. Did you vote for him? No. Did you? No. Then how did you get elected?
I'm actually a game designer, so I wanted to go over the new overtime rule from that perspective.
Okay.
So,
video game designer?
Video?
Is that what you're talking
yeah.
about?
Yeah.
Okay. What games do you work on?
We just got done working on the Tony Hawk game.
Oh, nice.
So if you saw that in the, over Christmas, it comes with the board peripheral and all that stuff.
Yeah, I heard there's a little bit of a delay.
Yeah,
in
my son has this, gathering dust.
There's a delay?
No.
Is there some hesitant, is some, what do you call that, latency? You do the move and then it happens. Is there a little bit of that, a lag time?
There's a slight latency, but we're working on fixing that. So, sorry about that, Fred.
That's not
one,
your fault. It's just
it's the sun.
Another thing I spent money on that he doesn't use.
Surprises lacrosse stick isn't gathering dust.
Now I just get him gift cards. He can go spend it on his own stuff.
Well, if a new one comes out, which hopefully we're working on, I'll send it to you.
Nice. You're the best.
Well, yeah. Well, instead of getting you guys lunch. Well, I know you guys like lunch, too. So
I don't know about instead of, but.
Well, both. Or
why ask me either one, eh?
Chicago. So one thing from the, I guess, video games things, like, The new rule, it doesn't really pass, I guess you guys have the Smith test.
Yeah.
So one thing that's weird that whenever you make a rule or a game or any kind of new principle thing, you always want to play test it as much as possible.
Right.
And so it's weird that they're experimenting with this new rule in playoffs, too, when, you know, the stakes are so high.
Yeah, I think they're going to change that. I think that won't fly. I think they're going to have this, you know, being used in the preseason and the regular season.
Well, they've already said there's a good chance in May they meet again, and there's a chance they pass it for the regular season then, which means it would be in the preseason. But it's not like a rule that's happens within the play. It's not an individual rule like a pass interference. So I don't know that it really matters if you don't enact it to the postseason. You know how it's going to play out.
Yeah, but, I mean, from my perspective, you don't really know, because there are some, like, new additions where – you know, when, like, if we score a field goal, then the other team has the ball. So the other team is essentially in four down territory.
Right.
But they don't have the clock management aspects of being in four down territory.
That's true.
So that is somewhat different.
Yep.
Because usually when the team's in four down territory, it's like, well, you guard the sidelines and, you know, they're using timeouts and that kind of thing. But being in four down territory when you have all the time in the world is a different animal that hasn't been seen yet.
Right. But I think from that perspective, then it's just up to the coaches to prepare for the situation.
I mean,
on both sides, offense and defense.
I mean, there are times in a game where you're behind by a certain amount of points, and the clock really isn't a factor, but you're still in four down territory.
Sure.
Correct.
Yeah. Sure.
So what I was going to do was I was just going to go down to, like, the goals of the overtime rule and come up with some suggestions, I guess, of things that I think would actually work better.
Okay.
So I guess the goal of the overtime rule is to remove the competitive advantage of winning the coin toss.
Right.
Maintain some of the basic strategy of the NFL.
Yeah.
Kind of don't go to, like, a college system. And then the other thing would be, like, keep the network TV happy and players union, so not, you know, extending that complete 15-minute overtime period.
Right. Those are all legitimate goals, yep.
So the one thing I was thinking was, you know, at the end of the fourth quarter, whichever team would have possession gets the opening kickoff in overtime.
If you end the game with possession?
Yeah, at the end of the fourth quarter, so let's say the Jets kick the field goal to tie the game at the end of the fourth quarter, then in overtime, the Patriots would get the ball.
See, that to me changes the whole aspect of the end of games now, because now teams are knowing I can just sit on the ball here and I'm going to get the ball at the end of the for another drive, rather than, wow, if we have a coin test, I might not get it back. You know,
well, I think that would actually add to the competitiveness of it, because, you know, you don't know if you can't really sit on the ball, because the other team can try to stop you from sitting on the ball as well.
This is a perfect example of why it just added to the confusion more than anything else. There was nothing wrong with the system before.
Yes, I totally agree. I'm just trying to think of
if you had to change.
I don't think it changes any of the strategy in the fourth quarter, though. I don't like the change, because I'm with Eric. I don't think it was broken, and I think the only improvement, in my opinion, would be to play a full period. Or at least a regular timed, something timed.
Right, but in the caller's, you know, scenario, that gets away from one of the goals, which is extending the game another 15 minutes, definitely.
But does it? If you're adding two possessions, unless
you said add another period.
No, but what I'm saying is, the way they're doing it, they're almost guaranteeing two possessions in overtime.
Right.
Unless now the first team scores a touchdown.
Right.
You're guaranteed. And that's going to be 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, two possessions are almost always going to be that long.
Could be, yep.
So I don't really see what time you save.
Yeah.
And just the only other thing, I'm just thinking of ways to get rid of the coin toss, because it's bothersome when, you know, they do the coin toss and then the home team just goes crazy if they win it. And that seems like the thing to approach is trying to solve that. So the only other thing I can think
rock, paper, scissors.
Yep. Well, there's, you know, competitive play of that. But, like, the playoff home team, if you're in the playoff, the home team just gets the ball just because they earned it by having a better record in the playoff.
Yeah, but you gave them that advantage by having the home game, and they didn't take advantage of that for 60 minutes.
What if you have a 2 out of 3 coin toss?
That's not still a coin toss.
Yeah, I know, but it
still ends up with one
team ball. You know, then scissors. The first one and the crowd gets into
it. I just don't mind a coin toss.
How is one and I mean, 1 and 3 are not any different.
It's just a little bit more crowd excitement.
Yeah.
I thought it was about fair.
I just think there's something to earning the ball. There's got to be something to that where it's not something that's chance. It's, I don't know. There's something with, you know, that earning it.
The only thing about that is, like, you know, I've thought about that, too. Like, you know, okay, whoever has the most offensive yards or the most whatever. But all those statistics may not really mean that you played a better game during the game, you know.
And they're not fair.
It's not fair.
They're dependent
right.
on
yeah.
your style of play.
Right, exactly.
The weather, yeah, the whatever.
Right, right.
Coin toss is equally fair and unfair. Yeah, right?
Correct.
I mean, it's a coin toss. That's what
I don't
it is
see what
by nature.
I don't see what could be more equitable. Than flipping a coin.
I don't like any of those other...
It's a true 50-50 proposition.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, guys. Just,
all right.
Okay.
We'll line you up for that free game for Fred.
I will.
And lunch.
And then I'll try to see you guys out in Chicago. You guys plan on going to Ditka's or...
Yeah,
we'll,
before that week, we'll announce where we're going to be.
All right, and then thank you guys so much for all the entertainment and everything. You guys do an excellent job, and the dynamic of all you guys together is fantastic and really gets us everyone through their day.
Well, thank you, Pat.
Thank you, Pat.
That's
very nice, Pat.
Tell a friend.
I've been telling many. You got a couple Colts fans listening. So.
Oh, nice.
My kind of town, Chicago.
We're sorry about this.
Tell them early and often, Pat.
All right, will do. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right.
While we're taking advantage of our listeners,
that was a very nice
testimonial
phone call.
Oh, yeah, we have a lot of them. I think we should start writing them down.
I don't know if we've had as many that would. That seemed.
You know, we should do. We should save that audio.
That seemed pretty genuine.
Cut that audio up and put that as a link that we can send on comments on.
We've gotten listeners through miscarriages. We've gotten listeners through the Mumbai hotel thing.
Yeah, that's right.
We've gotten listeners through a lot. I know we have some listeners with health conditions that listen to us as motivation when they're doing exercise to improve their health.
Didn't we have a listener who was on the verge of considering the most drastic of measures, and we got him through the tough time, and then he emailed us and said, you know, you guys really lifted me.
I don't recall that one.
You don't remember that one?
I think you may be thinking about yourself.
No. No, you guys would have done just the opposite.
I was going to say that.
You guys drove me to that.
Right. Jump. But while we're taking advantage of our listeners... there's a certain listener who sends Fred certain magazines at times. I would like a certain copy of that. I just found out Kim Kardashian was on this magazine's cover and inside.
You heard him, Rocky.
I want to see what she has to work with. I want to see
have those?
I want to see Bush's Bush.
You never showed me that.
You want some? I got a whole drawer full of them.
Did you hear what he just said?
Yeah, I heard.
Ex-Bush, I guess, now.
They're not. I thought they were still.
No, they're off.
No, I think they're done.
Off again.
They're off.
Who
again.
Knows? Who really cares?
Who's off that bush?
You. You care about that stuff. You blog about things like that.
Yeah, girl.
No,
girl.
Yeah. Stay strong, girl. There's another fish in the sea for you, babe.
See, Eric, what you're seeing is what's going to pop up on the campaign trail. These things.
Yeah, immature.
These things come to haunt you.
You don't think there's immature people in your district?
Yes.
Named Andy.
Maybe
not
Andy?
Andy, but no. That are going to heckle you. Now, are you going to have, like...
talk better. Talk faster.
How does this work? I'm intrigued by this. How do you rate... You have, like, suppers, spaghetti suppers?
Well, there are a couple of ways to do it. You can have... You know, you can rent out a space and invite people to come, but then you have to use part of the money you raise to pay for the space.
You can get those vets halls for, like, $50.
Or nowadays, you can just do... You know, online, you can just ask people to go through, like, a PayPal account, just...
And how do I get the food?
Well, you don't get
why don't you do like set up like they do in the boardwalk and draw caricatures and charge people for them?
I have.
I don't know if you heard the elections in November. You wanted him to be my
more
campaign
than two
manager.
Votes. I did.
You want to rethink that at all?
No, I think.
Oh, okay.
I think he'd be a good candidate.
So you can do it either of two ways. I think that you really have to have a lot of money built up if you actually want to rent out.
Which is why I asked you what you've been doing to raise money, and you said nothing.
You're putting the cart before the horse.
No,
you have
get
to
your
announce
war chest
first.
Ready.
You have to have a war
you
chest.
You have a war chest.
Do you have a committee considering this?
No.
No. You have to put together a committee researching your...
I'm talking to the people that I know and who are involved in such things and who have
experience. Is the time right for an independent to get in here?
That's
and
what I'm considering, Fred. That's part of the reason why I haven't decided yet.
North
who's
Providence
the incumbent?
Primarily.
There's an incumbent Democrat who's been in there for, I think, three or four terms.
Oh, yeah, you probably have no problem beating him.
How long's the term?
2 years.
Okay, so
8 years.
Hope and change.
2 years.
But
four terms, though, 8 years.
You know, it's just, it's all going to come down to whether I think it's the right thing for me to do personally. Obviously.
What else do you have to do?
Is this about getting chicks? I mean, seriously, is this all about getting girls?
If that helps, then great. But no, that's not what it's all about.
So I had a friend who wanted to be a pro golfer just for the women. I said, I don't know.
The money's pretty good too, apparently.
I'm not kidding either. This guy's nuts.
He was, you know, wanted to be Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods.
It's a long time before Tiger Woods ever got that idea. Let's see.
I'm intrigued by this, Eric. I want weekly updates. Are you okay updating us weekly?
I am. Sure.
I mean, it's free publicity.
Sure.
We gotta have at least.
I'm okay with it.
One listener. I'm
okay with it.
I give it 2 weeks. He'll be sick of giving us updates. He'll get mad.
We've already got the domain name.
What? What's the domain name?
Your website. You could just.
No. That's separate. That's a separate thing. No.
Should be a .org.
No. There'll be something.
.gov.
Do you have a catchy phrase ready?
I do actually.
You sure
it's
catchy?
Think positive.
Think positive. That's not bad. It's not bad.
That's how I would run any campaign that I would approach.
That's not bad. I like it.
Positively.
You like
not about attack. Not about attacking.
I feel
people.
I'm the Geico lizard in that commercial, and the boss is telling him his campaign slogan.
I like think
so
positive.
So you got that one.
What else you got?
No, that would be it.
Like it?
It's like,
don't
it's
love
like
it.
Montgomery Brewster. You ever see Brewster's Millions?
I think I did.
Yeah. Once again, we peter out.
Well, that's the end of the show. That's what we do.
We got a lot of
emails. Only have an hour 45 in us.
What'd you say? We got a lot of emails.
It's going to be a long draft.
We'll have
weekend.
To hold them.
Most men wish they had an hour 45 in them.
Is John Rook coming in? He said
most men wish they had an hour and 45 in them.
I got plenty.
Well,
where is John Rook these days?
I've had to fake it.
His mother's basement.
Mother's basement. Is he doing anything?
He's
flooded. He's drowning.
Get
Rook.
There's no.
Actually, I think that is
what
the
is
area where
now?
He is.
Yeah,
seriously.
No, seriously. There's no Providence basketball. What is he doing right now?
He works for a nonprofit organization down in Rhode Island.
Called John Rook Enterprises.
No,
he's a fundraiser.
Scalabino.com.
He's a development person. He raises funds. So I might
certainly
have to reach out to John.
Yeah.
He is big in Rhode Island.
He is
the voice
big
of
in
Rhode
Island.
Island, pretty much.
He's the sports voice,
you need,
at least.
You need to talk to Ernie DiGregorio?
Do you know?
Do I need to talk to him?
Yeah. Because he's from North Providence.
I know Buddy Cienci. You want me to get
him? He used to play on the playground right at the end of Lookout Avenue.
Met him once.
Lookout Avenue, yeah. Right. That playground over
there. They say
that still?
You have to go look out. Why is it? There's a
lookout avenue. That's really a lookout avenue. Yeah.
There's a playground right
in
the
playground at the end.
Ernie used to play there.
Yeah.
I used to play there.
What, did you play against Ernie?
And of course, his grandmother's on Andover Street.
No, Admiral.
Admiral.
There is an Andover Street though in the neighborhood.
You should know all the streets.
Of course, my grandmother grew up on Second Street. Of course.
Of course.
Of course.
Now, if somebody says you're four against Buddy Cienci, what's your answer?
You
lose.
Well,
but
see, no, but see, that's everybody's answer is. He did good.
No.
But, right. You know, he served
young.
His time.
He wins games. Yeah, you don't know why.
He
you don't really
this,
want to
up,
know
get
why.
Get
off the fence, Scalavino.
Well, I'm not running either.
If he ran for governor, would you vote for him?
Depends on who else is running in the race. You suck.
Shut up, for Christ's
sake. Fans will hate you at the debate.
If you were running this year for governor, no, I wouldn't.
Do they have debates for this?
For a local seat like that? No, I don't think so. That's too small time.
I'll tell you what. We will.
You lie! I yell.
Why would you want to help?
Liar!
Would you want to help prepare me for the debate?
Here's a promise.
Yeah, and then
I'll make.
I'd root for the other guy
if
in the debate.
If you run, listen to me, Eric.
What are you going
to
do about these floods?
We have to wrap things up. But if you run,
what are you going to do about these dams?
Dams.
If you run, PFW will fund an online live debate. We'll film it and we'll put it on the internet live.
Well, hold on a second.
I don't have to work extra for this.
We'll do it live.
I'm all in favor of the listeners contributing to the cause, but do we really want to give our opponent any time?
Show him or her up. This is your chance to show your medal.
I think Rook should be the moderator.
No, I want to be the moderator.
He'd be biased.
Why can't I be the director?
I would.
So maybe we should get
Why can't I be the director?
I hate you, and I don't know the other guys.
Now,
so
Eric, you work for the New England Patriots?
Yes, I do.
A model organization by many standards. However,
that spurned the city of Providence and promised to build a stadium there and then ran away.
And the mascot of the Patriots was caught in Rhode Island doing something against the law. Mm-hmm. You know, and you still work for that same organization.
Yeah, and?
Yeah.
Mayor of Providence went to jail, and I still live in the city.
You're going to have to work on your responses.
Right, but yeah, I mean.
I can just see, yeah,
and what's your point?
What is your point?
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress.
Sorry about that.
It's Thursday, right? Okay, so yeah, we'll see you next Tuesday.
That'll do it. Another PFW in Progress. We'll be back next week.
No, God, no.
Patriots.com Radio.